All right, December 8th, 6:30 p.m. I will accept a motion to start our open up our public hearing, budget hearing.
I'll move to open up the public.
So moved by Drew to open up the budget hearing.
I'll second.
Seconded by Paul. We'll make we'll do the vote by roll call. I guess you're supposed to do roll call. Because I have to vote on that.
Oh, you won't have to.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Dusty.
Yes.
Dean.
Yes.
Dan.
Yes.
Drew.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Is it unanimous? Thank you, Karen. We will first discuss the 22 or this year's budget 2022. We have five items that we need to open up and adjust our budget. Consider adjusting. I don't have to do it. You got to balance your budget. First item is raw water. We had budgeted 105. We're estimated to hit 115. Right, that's approximate. This is our we're estimated below by about $10,000. As you can see, that coincides with our increase in water sales, and so that would make sense why we didn't make our numbers on the water sale, because we sold more water this year. We'll go by each item, and we'll discuss if you have any questions, and then we'll continue. We'll go down. If you don't have any items or anything to discuss on that one, we'll move to the next one. So that's how we'll do each one of these five. Any discussion on that one? Fairly simple. The next one is utilities. Karen, why are we going to add 15 more, or, yes,
10.
Well, 15 more thousand to what we're at now currently. Oh, that was last year. Where's our current one?
10.
Yeah, but I was just looking at 2021. I thought that was our up-to-date 20, one.
25, and we budgeted 15.
Is there a reason we had this? We actually talked about this one. What was that one?
We pumped a lot of water out of the wells this year.
So electricity that goes to the pump.
Okay. Selling it to industrial use.
So what did we see where those are offset, those sales that we made to offset?
It would be up into the water cells.
Okay.
Where our water sales are in excess from our budget, just under $500,000.
Over of what we budgeted
for? Yes, in excess of our budget number, almost $500,000, which, yeah, makes up for the, we're over about $10,000, yeah, so we're still good there. Any other questions on that line? We'll go down to travel, meals, and lodging. Looks like we're going to be 1,000 estimated on that one over.
There's a couple of meetings out. All meetings, and then
our extra employee.
Yep, he went out to a certification. So,
so we had our extra employee. Had certifications that we required of him, so that would take his travel in. Any questions on that one? Okay, engineering fees. Looks like. $20,000 over budget on him on that. We've done a lot of engineering this year. So engineering fees, we added two projects that we didn't budget for last year, or that we didn't count for. The one was the right-of-way.
And then the impact.
And the impact, right. Impact fee, assessment or study. So those are the two projects that we added that we didn't count on last year. Any discussion on that one? Okay. And then transportation, fuel. I have no idea why we've got more money in cost and fuel this year. Anybody have any clue?
Unbelievable.
Out of control. We're off by $4,000. That's quite a bit difference. But things have kind of cost a little bit more, don't they?
Yeah. More fuel, then you got one more person running.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got one more employee running truck. Thank you. So, was there any other discussion on that one?
Would this not a Prius for Dixon next
year?
I've got some suggestions.
A lightning. Oh, it'd be like that guy in Simpsons.
You guys would be surprised how I can fold up. I flew on an airplane.
That's impressive.
Oh, man. I don't fit. I can't imagine how you do, how you did. I try to get the window so you, that's a little bit better. You get the aisle, you just get hit.
It was just torture for 3.5 hours or whatever it was.
They usually select, they say, okay, the biggest people, you three sit together. That's what they usually do. They got it somehow figured out. So, we've got... We're projected to come in at $1 million in excess, above budget. We have, which is enough to cover, won't put us in a deficit to open the budget to cover these, increase these line items. But we have items like...
water purchases.
What's that?
Water purchases.
Mm-hmm. Water purchases probably could cover most of them.
Materials and
employee benefits, plant. We have enough. We don't have to. It'll come. It won't come out of it. So we have enough. We can adjust.
It'll pretty be a wash.
Under
is what you're saying.
We have more over under budget than we have over.
So it'll balance. Pretty
yeah,
much
and Karen will take and make that work right. Okay, so before we have any, is there any other board, did you have any other comment on this one to bring to the public? We'll talk about the 2023 budget, then we'll open up to for discussion for public. We're estimating, as the budget currently stands, we're estimating at $2.2 million of water revenue. With other income coming in about $93,000 higher. Our total expense is going to come in, or the budget is to come in at $2.4 million, putting us at a deficit of about $107,000. In the operating, we have some non-operating income, such as impact fees and interest, which will... which will basically bring us flat for the year, which will balance the budget with that operating, non-operating income. Those two items.
What generates the interest income?
Your savings account.
Okay. What do we have those in? Not America, just
the state
fund. They have to be there.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. What interest does it have in?
It's usually higher than banks.
State likes it. State likes the money. They make the interest. We talk to, what's his name? The treasurer of the state. His name.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the state treasurer?
Yeah. Marlow Oaks. Yeah. Give them a call and say they give us a better rate, Marlow. We'll open up the board. You can have time to discuss before we close the meeting. We'll open up to public, any public comment at this time. Everybody signed in over here. There's a paper right there.
Just a question. How many connection fees have we sold this year versus 2021?
So on the, you can kind of look at the impact fees and get an idea. Depending on what size of the meter they got, but usually on the three-quarters, $4,000 or $2,500 impact fee. So we brought in approximately $55,000.
About 10, looks like, 10 connections.
More in addition to.
Hearing no public comment, bring it back to the board for any action or comments. Action, we can't make action other than closing the budget, but if you want to discuss the budget in this public comment, we can. Otherwise, we'll close and go into our regular session. Okay, we'll entertain to close the motion to close the budget hearing.
We close the budget hearing.
It's been moved by Dan. Seconded by Drew. We'll do a roll call. Karen, will you take care of it?
Dusty.
Yes.
Dean.
Dean.
Got to speak up for
Dean. Yes, I'm sorry.
Dan.
Talk louder.
Drew.
Yes.
And Paul.
Yes.
Okay, it's unanimous. We will now come out of our budget hearing, and we'll start our regular board meeting. Since we are talking budget, let's go ahead and have this as our item number one. Let's finish it out. Is there any other discussion? Unless you want to punt it, but we can discuss it now or later. Do you guys want to do it now, or do you want to do it at the end?
Discuss it now.
Okay. So we need one resolution to open up the 2022 budget to make the adjustments, and then we'll need to make a motion and a discussion on if we're going to accept the 2023 budget. So we'll have two actions that need to be done to resolve the budget for this year and next year.
I move that we open up our 2022 budget and make the adjustments to balance it out.
It's been moved by Paul to open up the budget. Any second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Dean. Any further discussion on this point? Okay, we'll call the roll. Call for question. Those in favor of opening up the 2022 budget and making the adjustments on these five line items to balance the budget, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Now, in consideration of the 2023 budget, any discussion, comments, adjustments?
Did you guys get pricing on the contract as well?
Yeah, they got it. Did he give it to you?
Yeah, it's under 15,000.
What's that?
It's under 15. Okay. It's like 13, 14.
So, okay. Then that would be of adequate for what we need, I guess.
Yeah, I think.
I wasn't sure where they were coming up from last month's discussion. We were kind of curious of where we were lying on price.
Yeah, you went and got today. So.
Okay. So these items in blue are the additions.
Yes, those are the things that we talked about last month.
Okay.
In there. The only one we didn't talk about was really talk while it was on there, but was surveillance. But we got a thing from the insurance saying that we need to get it, yeah. Get it up.
So the sense is that that's like around tanks, surveillance around tanks, or some sort of security. Is that what this is?
Yeah,
about?
It's mainly around the building.
Okay.
Have we got any bids on that, or are we just kind of guessing on the
We're
price?
Just guessing.
Yeah, if we had left over, we'd probably put around the Bonsville tank, needs fencing. Eventually, when we get it worked out at Ioka, we need to fence around that too.
Okay. Do we so this trespass all those places at this point, or just need? What? Do we find trespass on those places, or do we just need to get it done?
We haven't had a whole lot of problems except for over in Independence. We haven't had any lately over there. We've graffitied on the tank a couple of times. But the others, like Bonsville, they put horses out there, and the horses are out there walking on top of the tank, which is not a good thing. So we got to fence those out.
As far as from rural water, when they come do their inspections, where does that rank, not having fences around? Or they can
that, they never even mentioned it. They do talk a lot about security. So they talk about if you have a fence. So are you talking, did you say rural water or Division of Drinking Water?
DEQ, I mean.
So they're more concerned with the quality of the water, but they also emphasize to us on a regular basis the security of our facilities. So, but lack of a fence will not get us IPS points against us.
That's what I was wondering.
But it's a good idea to have a fence. Just,
oh, yeah.
I mean, if somebody wants in, they're going to get in. But.
So are these like 6-foot chain link or
yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
Razor wire.
Electricity.
Our prison tank is totally fenced, but almost, there's two things with that. It's really isolated, so no one hardly ever goes up there. But the other thing is if somebody does go up there, no one's going to see them because it's so isolated, so. But it is fenced.
So if someone accessed those tanks, can they contaminate them some way, or is that?
Yeah, they can cut the locks off and open up the hatches and
contaminate
them. That's why we got to check on them fairly often. We go up there to most of them once a week just to see if anything's out of order, out of the ordinary, you know. Some of them we do testing there a couple of times a week, so we go up there a couple of times a week. But I haven't seen any evidence that anybody's going up to any of them. So, and mainly because a lot of people don't know they're there. So
definitely something that I think the board needs to address at some point.
I think it needs to be done. That'd be cheap if something ever happened.
Yeah, well, there should be a protocol too when you find it.
If you have a forced entry into a tank, you have to shut it off immediately and start doing tests on it.
Oh, there you go. That's probably common.
Call up the Division of Drinking Water, and then they have protocols for flushing your lines and everything else that you got to do if it looks like your tank has been breached. And in training, they talk about people going swimming in tanks. Finding dead animals in tanks, all kinds of stuff.
I was told recently, 20 years ago, that there was some people swimming in our tank. This was 20 years ago.
Which tank was that?
Pleasant Valley.
Wasn't
me. But I had to drink some swim water.
Well, the fermentation is over now. We can fix that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't me. I just learned about it. One of the guys told me, one of my old friends told me that he did. I said, you dirty dog. I said, I didn't drink that water.
Tell him there's no statute of limitations on it.
That's right. The flashing.
Did you know about it?
Yuck. It wasn't me. He confessed just recently.
So what's the meter? Where's that going to be installed, the flow meter?
We're installing a flow meter at the IOPA tank. What is that on here? I didn't notice that one.
Yeah.
Put
the top operating expense.
Yeah. So is that how much that one's going to cost right there? $7,000 for a flow meter.
Is that the price that he got for it? Was
we would like. We're definitely going to have one in that new installation, but we need flow meters into other places as well because we don't know where water's going. Like at where we have junctions, we need flow meters to know like if it's going to Pleasant Valley or out this way. We know how much is leaving the Bridgeland tank, but we don't know when it splits at Lake Warren, we don't know how much is going to Pleasant Valley and how much is coming this way.
Wasn't overall usage tell you which way it was going or not?
Oh,
I guess it would.
You can add up all the meters out there at the end of the month and see how much went out there. But we need to know, like, on a daily basis, especially if there's a break or something. You can look at the flow meters and say, oh, it's going that way, you know. Mm-hmm. And it narrows it down a lot faster if you've got a flow meter. Plus, it just is better for finding leaks and it's better for adjusting flows because we've got several inputs that go into the system and it's just nice to know where the water's going.
So this one's going to be in the Bridgeland area then, this particular meter that we're budgeting for?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where we're going to put them because that wouldn't be on this project that we're doing because that's funded all out of that grant we already have.
Right.
Yeah. So we're...
But you're going to put one there, just not the one that we're budgeting for.
Yeah. So these would probably be in Bridgeland. We might have one seeing how much goes out east of Mighton. We might put one in Independence, how much is flowing out of the Independence tank. Because we don't have any idea out there. We don't know how full the tank is.
So is that going to be enough? Because we're talking three different locations. $7,000 isn't going to cover that many.
Yeah, I don't know. Jim's the one that came up with that number. He's the one that looked at the prices, so I don't really know.
That'll probably be maybe a meter.
It might be. I don't know.
Or a V meter. One or two.
V meter.
But we're looking at these electronic ones that you just bolt on. You know, they don't have propellers inside. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Just the mag meters.
Mag meters. And
they're expensive.
Okay. Well, all right. Any other discussion on 2023? Is it past the sniff test? If it does, we can make a motion to accept the 2023 budget as written.
I'll make that motion.
It's been moved by Drew to accept the 2023 budget as presented. Second?
Paul
seconded it. Call for the question. Any discussion? Call for the question. Those in favor of accepting the 2023 budget as presented, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. Thank you. All right, appointments. Didn't have a time on there, so I just thought we'd just go as long as we could. Keep you here. So, Jason, looks like you're up.
Got your wall map. Yeah, to look at. I don't know.
Is that with our boundaries and all that, our district precinct?
Yeah, redefined the coloring last meeting. This is with your, with the comments from last meeting, they talked about recoloring.
Nice. It'll be nice to have.
Easier to see.
We got our nostalgia one over there. We keep going.
Is there, if we need to...
Yeah, that was just something that you can use.
Now that it's printed big, if you look at it, and I think there's anything else that you need to look at.
But we got it. We got the boundaries of the precincts and the outer boundaries.
Yes, and I will email those on so you guys can get the shape files of those. So what we ended up doing, there was on the boundary that we were given from the county, there were some holes in there. Right now for this map, we filled in those holes in your district just to show the voting precincts. So.
That'll be great. You got the shape files for the precincts.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Because then we can get that lieutenant governor. We got elections this year, and it'll maybe make it a little bit better. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'd be able to have a voter's roll
right.
That is accurate. It'd be nice.
So, yes, we did get that taken care of. Independence, we are actively working with the tribe. We had scheduled to meet with them yesterday. They didn't have a quorum, so they didn't meet as a business committee, but we did talk with the BIA right-of-way specialists. They met us there, and we discussed with
was
them.
Sean there?
Shawnee and Antonio.
Was Sean there?
Oh, Sean.
Chapuzes.
We don't know because we never even...
Oh, you didn't get in there.
We never got in.
So they just said don't have a quorum, and it's not going to happen.
Right.
Did you reschedule?
Yeah, we did for January 18th. So...
Was this the first? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Was this the first attempt to get on there, or had they bumped you?
Yeah. Well, no, they haven't bumped us yet. Have they? No.
So you're that's
this
good.
This was the first attempt.
That's good.
So, anyways, afterwards we talked with Antonio and Shawnee from BIA about it. Part of the purpose of going to the meeting yesterday was to get their permission to survey and start that process. And then the BIA officers told us basically you can just get an access permit and that will work because it's all majority tribal and that will count as the permission to survey. So that's what we're working on now is getting the access permit.
Don't you guys have one?
We don't, but the surveyors that we're working with.
I mean the survey, yeah.
Yeah.
So they probably just got to add that area.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
So we're working with them to get that put together for that area so they can get up and start surveying. And then we'll move quicker than usual. Typically, we have to wait for a response from the majority of the Alati members. But since it's just all tribe, we just do that access permit and that'll work. So we're working on that. There's some wet areas along 3750 South that we'll probably have to address UA stresses with. And so it's still going to be probably August, September before that type of a survey is able to get completed on it. But in the meantime, we're going to keep working on that. We're going to keep working with the BIA on the right-of-way process. They said that we can work with them. We just need to get the tribe business committee up to speed with that, and hopefully we're able to meet with them in January and not get bumped again. So that's where we're sitting with it. We have gone through, started laying it out for design right now. Not getting too far down the road because if there are any major hiccups with this right away, we don't want to have to backtrack. But we do have it somewhat laid out right now, so that we're ready to go as soon as we get a go ahead. Let's see, and then Ledge Lane, I think is the other one. We've got a cost back from a contractor on...
Hang on a second. Before you go on Ledge Lane, we just tell the board, we met, Karen and I and Jason met with drinking our rural water, that meeting we had 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
For
Independence.
Yeah, for the Independence.
Yes.
What was it, drinking water?
Yes, it was the drinking water. It was their...
It's for the funding.
Yeah. They basically went through the authorization for the funding for Independence. And Eric Johnson, said that since it's not a loan, then...
We're not bonding the loan, yeah.
He doesn't really have a part in it. All we're going to need is the sign-off from Gail McCackney on the rights of ways. And I talked with Gail last week, and we've discussed it, and he's aware of what we're doing. He knows, he's given us some advice on dealing with the tribe and which lawyers to work with the tribe from getting those right of ways. So.
And we told, the deadlines for this is soft. And they will give us considerations because they understand the challenges of getting right-of-ways in tribal lands.
Right.
So that was brought up, discussed. I didn't see anything that was scary for us or anything. It was too urgent either for it to come out of that meeting.
No, no. It's pretty loose. They're willing to work with you on it.
Yeah, so anyway, that's all we want to make sure you notice.
It is federal funding, though, but with the requirements that we're doing, dealing with the tribe, we're meeting all of those with design, we're doing the NEPA and all of that.
Yeah, we got to go through the red tape of Davis Bacon wages and all that for you contracting. And
yeah, that will come up during construction.
Federal red tape is what we'll have to go through.
So,
well, that's great.
She said that she was going to try to use up some of the more stringent red tape with some larger projects, and our project may go fall down to some of the less red tape.
Yeah.
So, and I think we're going to be a little slower because of these issues, that's going to happen. So we may not have as much red tape as some of the bigger projects have.
Right. Because they did talk about there was the two Made in America type.
Yeah, the Made in America and I don't remember what she called them, but yeah.
Right. And she was going to put us in that less restrictive side. So, at least she made it sound that way. So, yeah. Things are looking good that way as far as your funding goes. Since we've applied for the funding, prices have gone up. So as we get into this design, we're going to be looking closer at costs as we're getting through it to see if the funding that you have is going to cover it. That may be something that comes up as we're coming into it. If we don't have the cost, we may come up against either cutting back on some footage of pipe installed or going and asking for supplemental funding since things have come up. We've bid a couple projects the last couple months that were substantially higher than we were expecting. So,
welcome to
2022, exactly. Which, I, you know, it's hard to say. Nobody's got a crystal ball, but it can go either way from here. Keep going up. Things might become available another year when we look at starting to bid this. So we'll keep an eye on that and just try to be mindful of it and keep you aware. So, yeah, that's what we're saying there. Any other questions on Independence?
No, that sounds good. Okay. Glad we're making some headway.
And then Ledge Lane, we got price cost back from Weldon to come back and install the pipe up to the booster station, and then to install the equipment in the booster station. Talking with Jim and Dixon yesterday, we may want to have Jim and Dixon do some of that work to save on some costs, because you're going to, if they do that, do all of the work, we're going to be over the funding budget, which may or may not have been your expectation on this. Ultimately, whatever you didn't spend in that funding budget goes back to CIB, but if you go over, then you get all of what they're offering, and then you just pay the balance beyond that.
The parts that we were thinking of doing was inside the vault, with putting the piping together inside the vault.
Yeah, which I think that would save roughly $20,000 on the cost, but we'll still likely be a little bit over on that one. And Jim had reached out to Mountainland to get costs on the supplies, and we're still waiting to hear back on that before we have a final number on what we're going to be over. But just so you're aware, that is coming, and we'll keep you apprised of it as soon as we know. So
when Jim talked to you about the going vertical on that thing?
Yeah, we discussed that yesterday. That's all we have for you tonight, I think. So,
great.
Brought you some treats. Enjoy them and enjoy the calendars. And it's been a pleasure working for you guys this year. We wish you a Merry Christmas, too. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you as well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
I'm good. Thanks.
Let's go to item number 3.
Scary, you guys want to drink the water.
The minutes. from last last meeting, November 10th. Yep.
I move that we accept the minutes.
Okay, Drew, move that we accept the minutes of November 10th, 2022 of regular board meeting.
I'll accept them.
Except Paul, second it. Any discussion or any correction?
I didn't get any shipped to you, and I don't want to you. Do you have extra copy?
Oh, over the minute. You didn't get yours?
Anyway.
Here, you can have mine. I wasn't here. You were here. You
I,
better
I read them on my device, but
oh.
I don't
like
to
keep reading them.
Okay.
I'm not going to be very helpful because mine's right here. It says absent. Like
I didn't see
Dean
anything.
And I have just been absent. Like okay, so here, no other discussion or no adjustments needed. I will call for the question. Those accepted to accept the. Minutes of November 10th, 2022. Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Financials. More money.
Yeah,
oh, financials is attached to your item number 4. Discuss the financials of November. Karen, you switched the sorting by the alphabetic order. What changed? Did we change that? We were sorted by the ledger account before. I just wonder if there's a reason or was just kind of a mistake. Anybody have an issue with keeping it sorted on the ledger account? How I prefer to see it, but
Alphabetical
now instead of by date.
The ledger account sorted so all your ledger accounts are grouped together instead of having everything kind of hopping around, so you can check.
Yeah, they had an update. So I don't know what happened.
They must have switched it on us.
Yeah.
That's how we had it switched quite a few years ago, or a few. Mm-hmm. But
group it from ledger.
Sorted by ledger.
Right.
Yeah,
ledger number. Okay, yeah. Please continue or correct that next time. This makes it so much easier to read. Thank you. We don't have a motion on the table, so if somebody wants to kind of get that out of the way, we could get that done right now.
I'll move the motion to sign.
It's been moved by Drew.
I'll start it.
Seconded by Dean. Any discussions? If you're not ready, it's fine. Just wanted to keep things kind of cycling. She may change it, so you probably should look at it. Or balance, or adjust it. Fulton for you. Get the rest.
It's hard to stay on your diet these treats.
Are you on a diet? Just trying to be good.
Yeah, it's a seafood diet.
Yeah.
It's kind of a year-round thing.
I got a little bump in the cholesterol. I got to watch. That's what happens when you get old, apparently.
Well, I'm not even go there. I'm looking around the room. I'm just going to be quiet.
I was waiting for a rise out of somebody.
No sympathy. I don't think we're going to get any.
No. I don't think so. Karen's, I don't know if you heard, Karen's printing off the our savings account. That's not, we're waiting on. She's made some adjustments to it, so I wanted to look at them. So what'd you have last night? It was good.
Ribs.
The ribs are good there.
The ribs are really good. I haven't eaten there.
I like their ribs and their club salad's really good. Mm-hmm. What'd you get, Paul?
Ribs.
Everybody ribbed it. Did you rib it?
How was the chicken fried steak? Was it good?
It's good.
That's what my wife always gets. Chicken fried steak, she loves it. I never liked that term, sinking fund. That sounds like my bank account. Revenue bond, how long are you going to keep that?
Until your loans are all paid off.
then you just kind of push and pull it as to match our loan, our bond requirements for those loans, right?
Yeah. This one here, right? Sinking fund. That's where payments come out of, is that one right there. So then you have to have on the other one, is so that you have your payments in there in years ahead or.
Oh, okay.
Years or
oh. Okay. So these accounts will pay our loans on the sinking funds where our payments come out of. Does it show up on here? It's got to show up on here. Where does it show up on here?
I don't think it shows up on there.
This is just our,
that's just
our income statement.
So this is,
I guess we'll see it in our balance sheets. Okay. Anybody have any other discussion? Questions, comments? Hearing none, we'll call for the question. Those in favor of adopting the operational budget report for November, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous. All right. We now are to number five, the manager's report.
You want to sit down to these guys that are visiting?
Yeah, what do we, I don't have them on here. What do we got? Skip down.
I just thought they might. I don't know if they're on or if they have something to talk about.
You guys here for.
So I'm Eric Drew with Jones and Bell Engineering. I don't know if I've met a lot of you. I know Drew, but I think that's about it for who I know in here. We've just been talking at the Jones and Bell office. It's been a while since we've been at your meeting, and we're thinking about coming to visit you guys on the meeting nights. And we've also been talking to Mr. Griffith here about his potential project he's got going, so we figured now it's just pretty much the appropriate time to come and see what you guys have going on and go from there. So.
Oh, okay. So Wyatt, I presume. Okay, I wasn't here last meeting, so I now see that you are number six, part of that discussion, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and when you come up here and let's have a chat.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you. We just don't get a lot of visitors here, and we just don't know.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you coming and taking interest in us.
Yeah, exactly.
You work out of the office here?
In Roosevelt.
Here in town? Very good. Okay. Land sale discussion. So we're talking about access. Let's just talk about why. Where are we at? Give us an update where you're at with funding.
Okay. So the funding that we have is obviously we're not going to go through a bank. We were going to pull from our own funds, what we're going to do. I invested with my partner, Joe White, on some properties that we did in Tooele County. We were supposed to close three of them in November. Well, one at the end of October and the rest in November. But they pushed them, is what they did. What they're doing is they want to go back and renegotiate. It's basically $6 million, well, 6.2 in land. So they want to negotiate because of what the economy is doing. And so we're back in that realm right now. So we're back to discussion what we can do. So the time frame that we're looking at is if we can't come to an agreement by next week is what we're going to do. We've been pointed. If we can't, then we're going to relist it again, the properties. We do have two. So I just talked to Joe today. We have two other investors that are interested in two of the projects, two of the lands. Anyways, if that's the case, it'll take probably about 2 months, 60 days to go through appraisals, reevaluation, and then closing where they're at. Now, a couple options that we have is we can give more earnest money if you guys would like to hold it longer, this process. We could do a joint venture. If you guys would be interested in doing a joint venture on the project, that's one option too, also. I don't know kind of what your thoughts are. If you're to the end and you don't want to mess with it no more and just move on to another buyer, we totally respect that too. So.
Okay. Any questions for Wyatt?
is Joe, are we still doing a partner thing moving forward with Joe?
I am going to partner with Joe on it.
So he's still.
I'll be honest with you, what I've got is I've got roughly $4 million locked up in cryptocurrency. The value of crypto is cut in half. So I think my $4 million is worth $2 million roughly, just under. So for me to pull it out would be just not smart. So I'm leaving it in there. I don't want to touch it. And then I have 2.2 invested with him on the project, part of that $6 million. So we're going to get it. Basically, we're not too worried about the property like Joe and I talked about. We're pretty sure the economy is going to rebound, especially if we get a different administration in there, which will change it. But I know you guys have been patient working with us. We appreciate that. We just want to do what's fair and respectful for both parties. If you're interested in working with us longer, great. If you'd like to just move on and close the deal and move with another buyer, we totally understand. Respect that. So,
okay.
But like I said, we have no problem if you want, we'll put more earnest money down to hold it longer. That's not a problem either.
You say you'll put more earnest money down?
Yeah.
What?
It's probably $30,000 we put in. I'll just give it the title company and have
is that in top or is that in?
On top of what we've already invested, yes, in there.
Okay.
So, anyways. Obviously, it doesn't have to be made decision right now.
Right. Right. We would need to want to make sure these guys get their questions answered. Yeah, we got to have a discussion, but we want to make sure that these guys have any questions for you while you're here.
And if you're interested in doing a joint venture, basically you guys are bringing the property to it, and then we're calculating that we're going to be at probably 1 to 1.2 for infrastructure to do the, bring it up. So I've been working with you at Roosevelt City, so which is good, and then Eric's going to help us with the rest of it on that. So anyways, that's kind of where we're at. On it. And if you're interested in that, we could do that. The property on your guys' end, as the money starts to come in, we split it 50-50. Goes towards you, goes towards us, and then once we get towards, when you guys are satisfied and we're satisfied, then we can look at numbers, 60-40% split, something like that, for the total build-up. So. Right now, we Troy put in, you've seen it,
the development.
Yeah. We're setting at 95 lots currently. We're going to probably scale that back to probably 85 lots, maybe 90 lots. I think is a number that would be nice. But the market that we're targeting to sell these to are individuals that work remotely. They work from home. And you haven't discussed anything about it, huh? Okay. So the project is what they call a ski lake project. And so everybody's backyard is going to be bumped up to water. And then they're basically 100 feet wide by roughly 600 feet long. And what it is, it's a cable system that runs back and forth. And people can go out there, jump in the water with their board or their water skis on, push a button, and it pulls them through. And they can water ski. They're pretty popular everywhere.
I've seen one down in Grand Junction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Stansbury Park. Stansbury Park.
Stansbury Park. Joe did one at Stansbury Park. The last lot that he sold for $396,000. It's a different clientele that you're selling to, is what you're doing.
How much are you into this project?
Right now?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot. Not really a lot. I'd say probably 35,000, that's probably 1%. So, we want to move forward with it. We see the great potential. I think Roosevelt City wants this new, from your side, what do you hear?
As far as growth area expansion for Roosevelt City, this would be a conducive area for sewer and Johnson Water has the water out here in this service district, but the sewer is available.
Yeah, and to grow this side of the town is amazing. I've already got somewhere between 8 to 10 lots already pre-sold. So, verbally, there's no money change or anything like that. So, verbally, is what we're at.
Do we get employee discounts or? Or do we get a free ski pass?
Exactly. One of the larger, there's actually three of them. Eric has seen the project. There's actually three of them. The one is 100 feet wide by roughly 870 feet long. That one will actually be set up that you'll be able to rent it for a day. And it'll have pavilions in it, it'll have restrooms in it, it'll have everything you need, parks. There's playgrounds, basketball courts, stuff like that on this project. Also.
Nice.
Yeah. So, kind of exciting. But actually, it's a whole other element.
Yeah, I don't think Roosevelt's used to that kind of stuff.
No, it would be a new concept.
So is there a demand? I mean,
yeah.
These people aren't coming from Roosevelt. They're coming from somewhere else.
We're going to be pulling them probably from Salt Lake County, Tooele County, Utah County.
Not California, right?
No.
They've already
been
there,
right?
That's not on record, I'm straight.
Yeah.
Paul, quit talking like that.
But yeah, the idea is to target individuals that work remotely from home. And these individuals make $200,000 plus a year.
Can you find me one of those?
One of those
remote jobs.
One of those remote jobs. Yeah.
Buy a lot so I could have one of those remote jobs.
Yeah. What's interesting is the one that Joe did, he says a lot of the people that bought into his, every one of them work remotely. And he says what they do is they go out and sit on their back porch and watch their kids or jump in the water and ski for a couple of hours and go back to work. He says it's very common what they do.
And it's kind of shifted because of COVID. A lot of people.
Yes.
So my brother's company, they got a contract for a new building down at Lehigh, right next to the freeway. And COVID hit and they saw a lad to work remotely. He thought, we're spending all this money on this building.
Yeah, I've heard comments like that.
There was a meeting 2 weeks ago at the county. There's a division of government, and Dusty, you probably know which division, but their sole purpose is to spend federal money for internet services, to expand the internet service. And we sat with the commissioners, Irene and Tracy, and basically they have millions of dollars to expand rural America.
And that's on top of what Strata's already got.
On top of. And this money will go to Strata as our service provider.
Yeah, Strata's got more money they know what to do with on broadband already.
So,
well, not more money they get to do it, but they already got a ton.
And this is the reason why, is because the workforce is shifting to this type of a work scenario, which is crazy. Talking Fruitland area, getting Strata or getting internet throughout all of rural Fruitland area.
Fiber and Fruitland.
And they're begging us, where can we get you internet connections? We want to spend money here.
Be running through the theaters, huh?
Yeah. I think we're going to make a change. And whether we like it or not, I think it's going to change.
And yeah, at my house, they're like, well, we'll get over there one day.
I think
you haven't got there yet.
No.
I don't have fiber in my house, and I live a mile south of Roosevelt.
You haven't got it.
It runs right by my house.
I'm 2 miles.
I got it right by my house, too.
But they won't stuff it right
on the road.
On my side of the road, too.
I got fiber for...
Hey, we can just while they're digging.
I know. I can splice her. My uncle can splice.
There you go.
He's a retired splicer.
I like that.
So what you're saying makes sense as far as the...
Yeah, the demand.
So what kind of time frame? You're thinking 2 months?
I'm going to request 4 months to be safe.
Two. Okay.
Yeah. So basically what we're doing is we're putting down $30,000 to buy 4 months.
If it doesn't go in 4 months, that money stays here.
That's correct. It's your guess. It's not ours. It'll be locked up in the title company. So, it's going to be.
Okay.
Anyways.
Any other discussion? Questions for Wyatt?
Yeah, any questions for me, please?
I think it's been discussed.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, anyways. Appreciate it. We want to move forward with the project, but we totally respect it. You guys are, you've worked with us. We appreciate it. And if you're ready to move on, we 100% respect that.
Oh, I did have a question. So I never got back to you about this. You switched from this side to this side.
Yeah, we're going to stay with that side. Anyways, we just didn't, went over and talked to
Dale.
Yeah, went over and talked with Dale. He wasn't willing to give us a lot on his end, and so it would take away your guys' parking lot more, so we just opted to, like you guys originally talked about, we'll just run it out there, Drew made him a suggestion, though.
So to speak to that a little bit, in discussions with Mike Isis, this is county side, 56 foot as far as a width with easements would be satisfactory to their to what they would allow us to do, not a 66 foot.
Yeah.
Another option potentially would be to come in with another encroachment off of the main road there, potentially. That that would have to go through the region manager of UDOT to get that approved.
Off of 87.
They're doing a study right now to do a traffic light there.
Little shift.
Are you guys helping with that?
We might be.
they come out of the 191 study.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought you maybe were involved. But yeah, they're considering a traffic light right here.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's only a matter of time.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think they're going to find that they're going to do it. They're doing this based on the projections of Central Basin and the crude hauling. And so.
Yeah,
exactly. Anyway. That may be an issue if they're going to put a light there, how far you can actually access. But anyway, yeah, so if that gives us 10 more feet to play with, I mean, it still blows that out because 40 feet was pushing it.
Yeah, I think it's still going to be beneficial to have it on this other side. Looking at the measurements, it's just going to put it really close to
our But what it does is it brings it right just on the edge of this
asphalt.
Yeah. So it would be far as us, but it'd be, the road would be just beyond us.
Yeah. Not asphalt, just easement.
Huh?
Not asphalt. Easement would go to the edge of our...
The easement would, yes.
Not asphalt.
Right, yeah, that's a good correction, yeah. So there'd be a little bit of a buffer there.
Right.
Anyways,
so.
Okay.
And this is going to be gated, right?
It is. Yeah, it's a gated community, is what it'll be. So, yeah. We're going to trap them in there. So, anyway, it'll have two entrances. Have you seen the plans on it? Oh, okay. So there's two entrances. At the very back, where Jim Patrick, his property line comes, that big power pole back there, the road's just going to be on that side, and it's going to run all the way straight.
The big metal trench, you're going to be on... West side of it?
Yeah, okay. Just that side of it, just west, and it'll run right down Jim's property all the way to 2000.
Okay.
Straight shot. I've already made an agreement with him so on that. And then, so I honestly think the majority of people are going to go out that way, not this way.
Well, if they head to Salt Lake, they'll be going that way.
Well,
yeah.
The future plans for 2000 is going to be to bring it in on the airport. Well, let's be on, what's the road called? Hancock Road. Be eventually to funnel it to that stoplight, the intersection. So the intersection where Sunbelt is now and Pole Line Road, that's going to shift.
Oh, they're gonna pull that
point.
That makes sense.
Yeah, especially if we start building out this way as far as Roosevelt City goes, it's going to be a nightmare. Now it's a nightmare.
It would be.
So
especially when it helped that stupid light to where it could be an acceleration lane instead of a turning lane.
Right. So that's in the discussion right now.
So that road's going to go right down this property line here?
That's correct, yeah. Yep. 2,600 feet is some change.
So what happens when you go underneath that transmission line?
Not a problem for driving under it, the road or anything like that. In the one corner where the transfer line comes through, the corner of you guys' property right there?
Right here.
Yeah, right there.
That'll be the
ice lock with them. We're actually going to put an RV and a boat storage right there. So it'll be a cement pad.
Oh, I thought that'd be your cheap Econo lot.
I like that.
Tiny home lot.
Yeah.
For bald-headed babies. That's what y'all have under that power line.
Yes, for sure. But that's what we're going to put in that corner. That's within the design. So if people have, like, trailers, camp trailers, RVs, or parking in that corner, that's how we designed it. So, and they approved that. They were fine with that.
The power line.
Mm-hmm.
You talked to them. Okay, good.
Yeah, they talked to them about.
There's a pipeline coming through me, and they don't want me to do anything under it.
That's right. Yeah.
I had a dozer parked underneath one of those. Energized that sucker. Drained the batteries.
Did it really?
And you. I had my wedding ring on, and I grabbed the handle, and it was vibrating.
You feel the energy coming through that.
It scared the crap out of me. I didn't know it. I thought I'd just see the big old arc come down and it'd be like the hot dogs, you know, they demonstrate in elementary school. I thought I'd be on with it. It was crazy.
Then you'd be heading towards the light, right?
Yeah. Boy, it was crazy though. I mean, I just like, what is going on? It was dead or in a doornail. It was vibrating. The whole thing was vibrating. Never seen anything like it.
Well, and the people tell you there's no residual comes off from those lines. I fought the one. I have four towers that's going on my place. Mm. And it came down to eminent domain. And to be right honest with you, I kind of like start shooting people.
Would you?
Yeah, especially when you find out that they stuck that other one out there.
Yeah.
Out there on BLM land.
The one that's going right now.
I fought them everywhere I could. And they come down
to eminent domain. You got four of those suckers coming?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be great if you guys want to look at it real quick.
Let me send this to you real quick to your email.
So that stuff doesn't leave a very good taste in my
mouth. Maybe mine
neither.
I was.
You got some too? Oh, I guess. How many you got?
You got two running in. Yeah.
Which way they're running?
Which one you send it to?
Come on, Mike.
So it comes.
JWD
one. Over here past.
JWD2O.
Comes across through that. Copy it. On my place, then there's one there, and then it comes again, then it comes with the third one over there, and then it runs straight north and crosses Ioka Lane again. So
I went to detailer.
Yeah, when I was talking back with your wedding, when I was a kid, we were out hunting, and we went, the dirt road went up close to the power lines, like these big high transfer lines. Anyways, and it was kind of hazy that morning. And I just got out of the truck, grabbed my gun, and kind of held it upright. And I was grabbing the barrel and the stock. And I could feel, just like you're saying, that vibration, but I could actually feel it burning in my hand.
Really?
Yeah. So
that's crazy. Don't park your tractors on it. It'll drain your battery like that.
That's interesting. I didn't even know that.
So they're saying that that's a DC line that they're putting on your property. They're saying it has no extraneous electrical because it's DC instead of AC.
This is AC?
This is AC.
It may have been AC that I had dealing with.
Well, I take it to Delta and then they convert it to AC in Delta to take it to...
Yeah, they're buying that wind power up here in Wyoming.
Is that what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that power that comes once in a while.
So Troy helped me design this. And so the bottom, obviously, is south. If you go down a little ways, you'll see where your guys's... Your building's not there, but you'll see where it comes into your property and then gets in.
So Troy, just for reference, Troy Gads, for Jones and DeMille, he's a surveyor. He's doing free... On his own, I guess.
Yeah, he's baseline surveying now.
Outcast.
His company.
He's an outcast. Yeah, so that's the road that will be coming down. Right now he just has it straight and then turned it, you know, is what he's done. But I did mention to him, Drew, that you were going to talk and see if we could do something different. So
that'll be...
Either way, it's coming along the east side of your building. As of right now, there's 95 lots there you can see in it. There's three lakes in there, is what there is.
Got one big one.
And the largest one will be actually the one that can be leased or rented for parties and stuff, maybe like ward parties or corporate parties or things like that.
Does that money go to the homeowner or is it?
It goes to the HOA.
Yeah.
So it'll help offset their cost, is what it'll do. At the very north end of the largest lake, there's a park there. There'll be pavilions and bathrooms and things like that for them, is what they'll be. And then it's Dixon, if you don't mind going a little bit farther to
the right.
And then that's the exit, the north road that's going to exit all the way up to 2000. So that's where that's at right now.
What are you doing in that blank spot between the North Pond and that elbow?
So that'll be the next phase. There'll be lots right there too.
Oh, okay.
When we get ready to work with Jim on his property.
Okay.
On his 115 acres that he has over there.
That'll back up?
Yeah.
That makes sense because you're out of road there.
Yeah, we'll add a road right there that runs all the way across is what we'll do. And then obviously I need to talk to Ryan Ross in regards to the situation there.
Yeah.
Figure out something with him on that. So, see what's fair, right? Anyways, I know I've heard the story and totally understand what the situation is. So,
okay.
So that's, as of right now, that's where we're setting up. But like I said, there's 95 lots there. We're going to back it down, I think, to 90 or 85 lots.
How big are the lots?
We zoned it to R110.
10,000 square feet.
10,000 square is what they are. So we'll probably, like I said, we'll make them a little bit larger.
And you doing the building as well, or do you just sell the lots and they have to do their own
building? No. No, a friend of mine is a developer, and so a general contractor. He's going to come out here.
So you'll sell turnkey lots?
That's what we'd like to do. Well, obviously, if somebody comes and wants to buy a lot, we're not going to stop them.
Yeah, sure.
What do you want?
As long as it meets the HOA.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So that's the plan of what we're doing. Like I said, we want to use all local. Everybody, all the materials, everything that we're doing, we want to keep it here in Roosevelt. We want to boost the economy here. We want to help bring it up. And then by bringing in these individuals to work remotely, that'll help, I think, also, too.
So 90 lots times, what is that, $40? So it's a $3,600 a month for Johnson.
Yeah, and you guys, for hookup fee, I'm looking at, what, 40?
Well, I'm just talking just monthly
resident
service.
Come.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
30, yeah.
How much was the number?
$3,600 for 90 homes,
okay.
Just monthly.
Just for the base?
Yeah, just for the base, yeah. If they do any overages or what, if they want to help fill the pond. You know.
There you go.
Right. Keep that in reality.
So anyway, you've got...
And hookup fees, if I remember right, you told me, Karen, is it 45?
Four.
4,000 even. Okay. So 4,000 times 9.
So
90.
That just adds three more zeros to, or two more zeros, so 360,000.
Yeah.
Just for connections.
For that connection.
For connections.
Yeah, for connections on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So. One thing that Eric brought to my attention that we haven't discussed about, Dixon and I were talking about an 8-inch water system line coming in from 2,000
to
3,000 to link it.
I didn't realize you had that many houses in there when I said that. We're going to have to talk that one over with our engineers.
Okay.
Because originally we were thinking, I don't know where I got the idea, but I was thinking 4 or 5 acre lots.
Oh, okay.
And so with that many, we probably are going to have to look at it a little closer.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, Eric brought that to attention, so good that we can address it now and kind of talk about it and get that ball rolling. So
we got a 12-inch with that all week.
We got a 12-inch out on.
And generally, as you have this engineered out, whoever you employ for your engineering, which will be Jones at the Mill, right?
Yep, that's correct.
We'll design that system, pass it on to us. We'll have our engineers review it for compatibility with our standards and that changes of whatever we need to do.
Right.
That was one of my questions.
Yeah.
Well, how you wanted to go about that.
Yeah, the process.
Yeah. That's generally how it's done. Developers come in and whoever's designing the subdivision, in my opinion, it's easier to design the water line as you're designing the storm drains.
Sewer
will
be
included with that as well. Because if another firm does it, then there'll be that extra coordination of, hey, you guys got to drop your line 6 inches because we have this conflict here and that conflict there.
Yeah.
Another part of our review once the
documents
are submitted.
And then, yeah, they're going to be doing the sewer through Roosevelt.
And you guys,
actually,
Johnson Water does have design standards that they can...
Let me back up. Let me qualify that statement. So now that it's annexed into Roosevelt City, we're going to be working with you solely, I guess. So
Yeah. You're
doing the design for him. You're also going to be doing the review for Roosevelt City. So we're going to have to work through that one.
We'll have to figure out what we want to do there.
But and then Johnson Water, what we've done on Brad Knight's, this is a prime example of what happened there, is we've taken Johnson standards and said, okay, we're building the water line off of Johnson standards, but the fire hydrants will be set to Roosevelt City standards as far as 500 foot spacing. So this will be the same thing here.
Yeah. Wouldn't make that happen.
And road width and everything else, which you face it for.
Right. Yeah.
Well, now we've got a concept, or once we get this thing moving, then we'll...
Yeah, and on there it shows the road width and everything, too. So, anyway,
okay.
That's a little more than what just a discussion.
Well, we got other items to tackle, but if you guys, I mean, make sure you ask, because this is an important decision that we need to consider. So if you got any other questions brewing, now's the time to spill, or we'll move on to the next item.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Kick it back to you, number five, Dixon.
Okay, I'm going to write the truck. So I went and got some estimates, and I can find my mouse here. That's what we're looking at. Ford and Dodge, because of the lack of vehicles, are not given government discounts. GM is.
So well, Toyota won't even sell on contract to government right now.
Okay. So I hopefully GM will honor this price he gave me. $45,000 compared to $56,000 on all the others.
Why? Well, their lots are filling back up. I think that's going to change. Their lots are.
And I've been reading things saying that it's going to change a lot in the next couple months.
Yeah.
So I'm at $99,500 something.
With a brand new starter.
A brand new starter.
Any
you know,
more could you ask?
I could wait a few months or yeah. Whatever.
These are order in trucks or these any?
No, these are you have to order. Yeah.
Okay.
The ones they got are like 70, 80, 90,000.
They got the nicer setups.
What's the time frame if you order?
It's 4 to 5 on Ford and Dodge and 2 to 3 on GMC.
Months.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
Tens, they're all telling on with Dodge, but they're back to 8 on those, huh?
By one of those Fords, the starter will wear out because it stops and starts every time you stop.
Yeah. It's crazy. You can turn that off. Well,
every time you get
I didn't get lightning.
That's right.
Do you want me to look at lightning?
Yeah.
Moon Lake's about out of power. Don't do that.
About?
Oh, they are beyond out of power.
They're out of power.
Well, that's not a bad price. Would a trade-in be? Do you have that on there?
I didn't get any trade-in things. I was thinking we could do better just bidding it on KSL cars or something. But that's the two-edged sword, you know. The prices may come down on them, but it's going to come down on resale of
Well, used cars. Yeah, used cars are usually, you know, if we have a downturn, they're going to be more sought after anyway.
Carvana filed for bankruptcy today.
Did they do that finally? We'll be selling to them then.
So
is that the vending machine business?
I don't know how it works.
It is, yeah. It is online.
These guys I've been watching saying that the used car market is going to go down substantially in the next few months.
Oh, crap. Better sell now.
Should have bought.
The banks are holding all the repos in the lots right now and releasing them full as they can. There's just gobs and gobs of them.
Yeah, everybody in their COVID check, how they can buy a 5-year commitment with their COVID check.
Mm-hmm. And the interest rates are going up, and it's making it more difficult for everybody.
I don't know if it'd be worth it for us to look at it, but I know Roosevelt, as of this last year, 2 years ago, they ran the numbers, and we're moving all to lease vehicles. So we lease from a... I don't know what you call them. There's providers that just lease these vehicles, and it's on a 12-month lease. They do all the maintenance, all of everything, but over the longevity of a vehicle, they figured people that have a higher pay grade than I, that it's cheaper to do that. Than it is
so you get a new truck every 12 months?
Every 12 months. The problem I see with it is fitting the truck with toolboxes.
Well, I was going to say, it may work for, be a little easier for your buzz arounds, but if you got any kind of work that you got to work out of that truck, it'd be
right.
Hard.
Well, most of ours are trucks.
That's right. You got a lot of work out of trucks.
We got diesel trucks, and we've got one-ton trucks. That's the whole fleet they're going to deal with. So I don't know. At some point.
It's interesting.
Yeah. I figured they saved a substantial amount going this way.
GE, well, we trying to think what they did. They leased home. Are they leased with the little residual? This is traditional one. So I don't know. It's the first time I've heard of it.
Anyway, so I'm just waiting for you to decide what we want to do. I don't have any problem waiting. The truck seems to be running just fine. So I could go ahead. It looks like the obvious pick on this one is the GM Sierra. But
well, that's not a bad price, really, for a new truck. That's not bad.
Yeah, and I don't think your new is going to come off. You may get some rebates, but your rebates could come off to $5,200. So you may have a few thousand difference there. So I think you're good. I am good with the 45.
Yeah, I think we've already.
As long as you get white.
Yeah. It's called
what's it called? Something.
It had a name. I can't remember what it was. Something white.
Majestic. Majestic snowflake.
Utility white or something like that. But, okay. Well, I'll go put in
the
order.
Well, that was my... the board, I just was saying...
I think we've already approved
it. Yeah, they approved it in the last...
Oh, yeah, we just did, so...
Yeah. So I'm just looking for input for...
I'm looking for
consensus, right? I've got my vote in.
All right.
Okay, then the water line extension on 2000 South is done. It's tested, it's pressured, and it's on. I'm not sure it's on. Nobody's using it. I think it might be off, but it's been tested. It's all set to go.
Is that going into that subdivision or something?
Mm-hmm, along the north side of
Brad 9.
Brad.
So remind me on that one. I must have been asleep then. We're paying 100% of that extension.
Yeah.
Okay.
To take it to the end of the lot, right?
Yeah, so it's where this purple line is from here to here.
Okay. I couldn't remember if we made if we needed the line. I know. I just didn't know if we were having a cost there or anything.
So if we have to increase this size into this part down here, we've got the 12-inch.
Well, he should be paying from mid-lot. We should be paying for only mid-lot on. Wasn't that how it is?
For Brad Knight?
Mm-hmm. He needs to bring it to his turnout, and then we were just going to extend it the edge of the...
No, he's putting one in from right here over to here and then down to here.
Back to 2000.
And that's what I was saying. He should be paying from the corner to that connection. And then we pay. This is what I remember, is we were going to pay from that junction to get him off, to get it to the edge
of the property.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way we understood it, so we may have
That's kind of the way I understood it.
I didn't understand. That's why I asked.
What do you need? You guys recall the conversation?
So show us where you're thinking, Dusty. I'm still confused what you're talking about.
So he brought in his map, and he was going to loop. But there was some question whether he was going to go and tie on to the there was any reason to tie on to the other small line there right to the airport.
Yeah.
But I thought that he would bring it to him. And we wanted to take it off, and I think it was you wanted to make sure that we were able to, or was Paul, one of the, was Paul.
Went to the end of the lot.
Yeah, Paul's the one that brought that up, that we needed to come to the end of the lot.
And we did run it to the end of the lot, right?
Yeah.
But who was to pay what then? That's where I'm concerned.
So that's where the bait is now.
Who was going to pay the excess from?
We were going to pay from the entrance on.
Oh.
And he was going to pay from the corner to his entrance. That's what
where's the loop tied in?
Yeah, that's what I had in my mind, and it may not have been clear, but that's what I had in my mind.
Yeah, see, I totally misunderstood that, because...
So what does he understand? What does he...
Probably
Brad. He's figured that we're paying the whole thing? Is that what he's...
Or has it been discussed since?
I don't know, because Jim was been doing most of the discussion with Brad.
Okay.
So I must have misunderstood. It's probably my fault, because I thought... I just heard we're doing the north side. See, the option was, if I remember correctly, we could have come right across the road there, but we would have had to, off this 6-inch line, but we would have had to install another PRV, which we already have a PRV right here.
Well, the problem is it wouldn't have fire flow. 6-inch would not have been sufficient.
Yeah.
So Roosevelt wouldn't have.
No.
And so he's actually going to hook in to this 4-inch line and then back into the 8-inch line. So we'll have a combination of...
I remember the conversation, and we were saying, well, what kind of value would it have on that 4-inch, but whatever. That would be on him.
So at some point, I mean, we don't want duplicate lines down the whole pole line road, a 6 and an 8. So at some point, if we keep going... We're going to need to do...
Well, it's different pressure zones, though.
Sure.
So
understood.
That's a minute.
But, I mean, it would be cost-effective to put a PRV in and have a 8-inch.
Yeah.
Rather than maintaining two lines on both sides of the road.
So...
That doesn't make sense.
When they put in this water line here, we're going to have to tap... It sounds like we're going to have to tap into this 12 down here. And then we may as well complete it up.
Right, and then just do away with the 6, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I think we actually talked about that during that meeting. So I'm going to read the action item on this. Daniel Crozier mentioned that we propose and accept that we motioned. Can't mention things from the past. Sorry. Motion. And accepted that what we discussed to tie in an 8-inch line on the north side of Brad Knight's west property line and secure appropriate right-of-ways and then tie into the 4-inch line. Everybody was here during that. And what did you say? What was the other one?
So that would be basically running how you ran.
So here's some discussion on it. Timberline Engineering did the engineering for the subdivision. It went just it is just west of the airport. Phase one, there will be 12 lots. Water and sewer, there will be industrial line. There will be industrial line. The line will be looped. Brad Knight would like to have water, sewer in the road this year. He has bought one connection, which has been installed. He's the buyer and wants to move in January. Tie into the 6-inch line and bring an 8-inch line on the north side of the property. Tie into the six.
Which would have been on the far west side.
Yeah. No, far east, right? No, on the far west.
And then come back and tie into the 4-inch.
Mm-hmm.
That's
down that top loop is where you tie into that 4-inch.
But that wouldn't...
So Dan's motion said on the north side of the property, west property line. And he wanted to make sure they had their right-of-ways recorded. So it's not...
Clear.
Nothing obvious there.
We can go to him and see.
Well, and I'm not suggesting that. I missed the first part of that meeting, and that's why I've always wondered, why did we do this way, and who was paying for what? And I was at the motion, but I missed the first part. So I'm just curious. I think we need an 8-inch line. Eventually, we're going to have to take that 8-inch all the way. And from the airport road, a 4-inch to loop, I think, is adequate because Roosevelt has an 8-inch now. So the loop would be fine on 8-inch on that side, but eventually that 8-inch doing away with the 6 would be what I would... That's my concern, is duplicating the lines.
Well, we discussed that we were actually talking about connecting, and we said, well, why does that might bring it to where we can actually make the connections.
And at this point, whatever Brad's understanding was, whatever he was told, it's going to be really hard for us to go back.
Yeah.
Well, we need to talk to him and find out what his understanding was then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because obviously mine was in conflict with what a lot of you guys were thinking.
I didn't know. I just, that's what I brought.
Well, with me, apparently, and Paul, but just see what he says and let's don't make a big deal over it. But,
no, I don't think it needs to be a big deal.
But just make sure that we're clear. I don't want him waiting for, with a check in hand, we're not taking it.
Well, the fact of the matter is we need fire flow in that area, and now we have it with an 8-inch, so.
Okay.
So we've
got... Well, it's in, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So he should be happy because he's ahead of that schedule.
And they're working on that sewer line, right?
One thing I'd like to bring up, so the sewer line's going to go in, and we talked about this last night a little bit. I think there'll be another week on the sewer line, but when they start installing water line, cable's going to be doing the quality control inspections on this. Timberline will be, but Roosevelt's been going in just periodically. I've been going out checking the sewer line install. I think for Johnson, where it's Johnson's water line, I think it'd be good just to keep tabs and make sure they're installing it.
We've been looking out there to see when they started it, but
we're overlaying. But Roosevelt respects that it's Johnson's baby.
Have they gone so far that they're almost done with that sewer line?
I went there today. They're probably, maybe 600 feet coming back to the west. So they've still got quite a way. It is rocky.
Yeah.
It's a mess. So.
The cobble or?
Yeah, big cobble, 12-inch minus. So, anyway.
Yeah, if you drive along there where they put the water line, it's just littered with
rock. But they're doing a good job bedding it, so I think they'll do well for us.
So keep an eye on that once they start on the water line.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. I just misunderstood. So.
Well, the motion is not clear, so usually you can go back on your motion and make it clear. If memories are relied upon, then that's pretty rough. In our old age, right? I may be thinking, wishful thinking there, but that's what I recall. So we'll just see what Brad says.
Okay. All right. So we were going to talk about just on policy view review. We were going to talk about the different. A couple of aspects on the fee schedule for what we want to charge fees for. And I figured the best way to do it was to just do a couple of things at a time. So before, in the past, we talked about having contractors install, do all of the work, and get the materials for putting in water connections. And so I just listed here what it costs us to install a water meter. So I just drew a picture or a piece of these pictures of all the parts that go into a connection from the saddle that goes around the pipe.
What are you doing here? What are we doing?
This is not what he's doing right now. That's just...
This was handed out last week. So these are all the parts that go into it. And depending on the size of the meter and the size of the pipe that it's hooking to, like that first saddle can be as little as $20 for a 2-inch line, but it may be $150 to $200 for a 12-inch line. So there's variables in those. So I put... normally we do, most of them are 8, 6, 8, 12 inch, so somewhere between $100 and $200. That corp stock is $100. Anyway, you can look up there and see all the prices on everything. But we talked about having a contractor do all that and use our designated specs on the brands and stuff that we use that we keep repair parts for. And so have them do it, because these prices are always changing. So when we set, we charge a flat fee of $4,000 right now, but it's costing us probably $1,000 to $1,500 more, depending on what type of connection we're doing.
Well, let's qualify that. $4,000 includes impact fee, and impact fee is not to be attributed to the connection. It's part of the impact.
Right.
So it's separate money. So there's only $1,500 that is actually dedicated for that connection.
So the parts that I have listed there, and I looked up the as close as I could get on some of these, this is not any labor or anything like that. Just parts is over $1,000 for a typical line. Now, if it's a long way from the line, like if you have to dig under a road or something like that, you're going to have more expenses, got to repair the road, all that kind of stuff. Typically, we've passed that on to the person who's buying the connection. If they have to bore the road, then they have to pay for the bore. If they have to repair the road, then they got to pay for asphalt. But we're saying and we talked about this before, just having a contractor do it. Then we actually do the tap and inspect their work, and then we charge for the, let me see, the next slide, I think I have that. So we provide the meter and the antenna, and we tap the pipe and we inspect the insulation. And then we have them put down a deposit from the customer puts down a deposit so that if any damage is done by the contractor, then that'll come out of the deposit. If there's no damage and everything works fine, they're refunded their deposit. And then we started looking for contractors who do this kind of stuff, and all the guys that we've done in the past have moved on to other stuff, you know. But then I started thinking, all of these homeowners, they hire somebody to put in that line from the meter to their house, whether it's the plumber or the contractor. And it's like, when they build their house, they can just add that into it, couldn't they? We don't have to really find them a contractor. That was my thinking. Any ideas on that? I saw one Dan Crozier used to do excavating. Call him up, maybe he'll do it for you.
So you're suggesting that providing a list of qualified people to do this for a homeowner, because I think it'll probably basically fall back to the way it is now, that they'll just do it themselves or try to find somebody to do it?
Well, what I'm saying is that right now they already hire somebody to do it from the meter to the house, whether it's the plumber or their contractor.
Or they're just doing it themselves.
Or they're doing it themselves, yeah. But it still has to be inspected by us to meet our specs. But the problem with us is in charging them for all the parts, these parts are changing so fast in price that we're losing money on every connection.
Could we have a mechanism in policy that basically says this is the cost, but due to inflation in parts, it's going to be a surcharge?
Well, you could put in there, we do keep a supply of all of these things in the shop, okay? And we could maintain a list and just put the cost of a connection is, you first of all, you got to buy a impact fee, right? Then the connection is our hours, we could say, so our hourly rate is such and such, and then the current cost for components, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do it that way.
Yeah. And a lot like, I'm kind of picturing other utility companies that we could compare to. Moon Lake, for example, at the time you go and pull an application, they'll give you a cost. This is what it's going to cost today to do it, and basically give you an assessment of how long it's going to take them, and that could change after they get it put in. So it would be similar to something like that. I like that idea. That way we're not eating the cost just because we have a set fee.
So let's think about the question on, let's say that this goes as planned. They'll buy the connections. Who's going to buy the connections on that one? It would be turnkey, so it would be the contractor, right? Mm-hmm. Would we go and install them for them, or are they going to install them?
As far as this development?
Yeah, this one right out here.
Yeah, so basically how that works is the subdivider puts, or the contractor puts everything in, and they charge. So Roosevelt has done it a couple of ways where they'll send the individual in to purchase the connection. They'll put it in, so you don't basically charge them materials. You have to subtract materials out, but they're still paying for whatever that connection fee is. Or the subdivider developer will do the whole thing and integrate that cost with the cost of the house. It's better to just have the person come in, and in our experience over the years, it's better to just have the homeowner come in and pay that, whoever's buying that, or the developer if he's doing it, than have him buy it. It's been our experience.
But who installs it?
The contractor.
And so the contractor buys all everything. So yeah, so there would be a difference there.
Right.
But it'd have to be to our specs.
Exactly, yeah.
Personally, I would prefer that we have contractors do them all. And because we get roped into all of these things that cost us more money. And if it costs them more money, they should pay for it, in my book, not Johnson Water. I mean, there's all kinds of variables. The cobble rock is harder to dig, takes longer.
Well, I'm just going through the pros and cons, and I can see pros and cons. Pro side, I can see that it's a good way to limit liability, such as, you know, whether it's, you know, exposed holes on the shoulder of the road or extra costs due to the material or whatever unusual lengths or connections that we have. So I get that. Con would be a shoddy job done, hitting our line if they're trying to do it ourselves and cause a break and, you know, have an issue that way. So you didn't have to try to get a land or a homeowner to pony up to repair the road.
That's why we would require a deposit up front,
yeah,
of whatever you decide. You put a $1,500 deposit on, it'll cover most damage, I would think. But
you, I guess you could put some parameters around that if you wanted to.
The cons on that, though, is a single person trying to build a house is going to have to pony up another $1,500 just for a deposit.
Is that what the deposit would be?
No, that's just a filler. Could be whatever you set.
Oh, yeah, I see it right there. Okay.
Which could be.
But the thing is they put it in. Say they come in, they want it, and a month later they got it all done. They get their $1,500 refunded.
Just initially to come up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty steep deposit.
It would be hard for some people.
Well, the thing is if you hit an 8-inch line, it's going to cost us more than $1,500 to repair it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have the advantage of having a pool of contractors that are licensed and insured.
The problem is trying to find a contractor to do anything right now because they will get kicked down the road 6 months. We have people coming into the city right now who needs a sewer line replaced. They can't, their sewer is done. And they can't get anybody to come and do it. And that's an emergency. That's a sanitation emergency. And we
crappy job.
We can't even.
Nobody wants to do it.
There's nobody that will do it.
They can only not.
So to come and do a water connection that's not an emergency, I just, in today's weather, it is going to be hard.
So we did 10 connections this year.
Most of them were done in the last month and a half.
I mean, I'm just off of what we just talked about earlier, so it's give or take probably a couple. It was pretty close to that.
10 connections total.
This year.
That's not
long. Would you say 55,000 at least?
My math was off to 36. The impact fee, is it always 25 regardless of the size?
That's what I thought. Okay.
1 inch.
Huh?
1 inch.
What was your most expensive one? What's recently? Have they all been through 3/4? Or?
Most of them. Have we done any? I don't think we've done any 1 inches lately.
Any bigger ones? Okay. So I just gone off of the $36,000, which would put us at. Does that connection fee? No. That's the $1,500. So that's more than. That's we've done 20 then.
See, and all these prices are on a 3/4 inch meter, so if you go up to a 2 or 1 or a,
yeah, so
well, 1 or a 2, then they're going to be quite a bit more than that.
We've done 20 connections.
And also, if it's on a high-pressure line, we've got a lot of them that are high-pressure lines, then you have to install a pressure reducer on every meter, and then so that adds additional costs.
So how many out of those 20 connections did contractors put in off the top of your head last year? Did you get
none,
them all?
We did them all. Well, I guess over at, what's his name's? What's
Denver?
His name?
The Denver?
Yeah, Denver's. He put them in there. But we only got like 2. Were they this year or
three.
Was they last year?
Those were 3.
Yeah. That'd be this year.
Yeah.
What are your guys' thoughts?
You can't have a standard fee for a connection because every finish is going to be different. And so how do you, you can't, you have to price them individually then, don't you?
I think they're mostly discussing the security deposit, wasn't it?
Well,
just talking about methodologies.
But we have to, the board has to have, whenever we change our fees, we have to have an open meeting. And if we set up a fee charge for a meter hookup, then it has to be an open meeting and we have to have a hearing. Whenever we change any rates or fees or anything, it has to be. So the question is, how do we put it in the thing? It's like, do we put it by the hour? Or by the size, or all of them, you know, it's a different fee for every size. I don't know. So there's got to be somebody out there with a backhoe who would like to get bonded and get all our business.
So we've generated, say, $50,000 off of doing this ourselves?
36.
$36,000?
Mm-hmm.
Which?
No. That's off impact fees.
No. 36 off connection impact fees was an additional 60 grand.
So 36,000. So my thought is that pays for half the yearly salary for, say, our lower.
No, but we generated 36,000. What are we paying for there with that 36,000?
Well, you got materials.
Materials.
Labor and diesel and
so
truck.
In the current fee, what are we paying? We're paying $2,500 for the impact fee. And
24
then,
connections to the impact.
And then $1,500, right? So that's giving us $1,500 to work with out of the $4,000.
The $36,000 was 24 connections at $1,500 a piece.
That's $36,000 that we generated.
Okay.
Yes.
But of that, $1,000 or more is just in materials.
No, that's taking materials out, right? $1,500?
That 1,500 is including materials. So if it's $1,000, so we got $500 per connection.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I gave you the 24 number.
So $12,000 for 24 connections. So we're making $500 a connection.
And then that pays for your backhoe, your truck and labor.
Right. And it takes roughly... What's an average of a connection?
We did one in 2 hours the other day. We've spent a day and a half on some.
Yeah. I think it goes back to the whole one size doesn't fit all, right? I think you could have, there's going to be some sort of a mechanism that we need to put in place that say, hey, minimum, this is what it's going to be. If we get over this, we've reached this many hours, we're going to have to charge an hourly. But it's hard to know until you get into it. It's all underground. Like power, they know what they're going to get into. It's all visual. But with water, you don't know until you get under the ground. So it's really tough.
With power, they require you to put in the conduit, and then they come and
right.
If you're going underground.
Yeah. So I think it would be suiting to just have, this is our base. If all goes well, if not, if we're over our allowable hours, then we're going to charge you, you know, whatever our hourly plus tobacco and laborers and whatever that may be. That way, at least we wouldn't be going in the negative. I just think we're going to run into a problem of trying to find qualified contractors that are willing to do it, especially moving forward. The workforce is not... It's not like people are knocking the door down to do these jobs right now. I think it's going to get worse. That's my opinion.
I might say that on 1 a week. If you figure 24, that's 1 a week. Your contractor ain't going to live on that.
That's actually 1 every other week.
24 connections.
52 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not frequent enough to be a commitment, but the only thing I would be, I think you can skin this more in one way, and I would want to try to, whatever way we go, but we want to, if we're going to go cost plus, trying to collect that plus is going to be mm-hmm. extremely hard.
Yeah.
Can you put in it? We'll install it for cost of materials plus 4 hours of labor or something like that.
Well, yes, and I think you can work that security deposit in though with this. Say, you know, whatever that may be, whatever number we land on, have the security deposit, and then if it takes over the 4 hours, we'll just keep a portion of that security deposit. And I think that's how we could maneuver that one. And we may have to adjust that if it's not going to take care of it. We set it at $700-$800 for a security deposit. I mean, that's another 5 hours of labor that we could be covered. And if that doesn't cover it for us, then we can bump it up to 1,000. I think that would be one way to do it.
So on cost of materials, say a corp stop costs you $10 or $100. We have to go through the process of getting it. So do we add 10% or 15% to the cost of what it costs us to sell it back to them?
If we're a public entity, I would say no. We're not profit.
But it costs us.
It does cost us administration.
There's
right. Administration and storage. I get it. I guess you could consider that.
How many do we keep on stock?
It depends. If we know a bunch are coming up, we'll buy a bunch of meter setters, like 10 or 15. The other thing is, in the past year, they've been hard to get. You can't even get them. So somebody wants to build a house, it's like, we're sorry. Now it's our fault because we can't get it. And to keep them in inventory costs a lot of money. So we kind of transfer the blame to a contractor. If we get them to do it, they go down. But the other thing is Mountain Land, we could make a deal with Mountain Land, just hold some for Johnson Water down there, all the parts, you know, and then when somebody comes in, you can sell it to them.
I don't have a problem having inventory. I think that's, if we can...
But we have to have some inventory because...
Well, we know we're selling 24 a year. If we have 30 on hand, we got a year out.
We replace 5 or 10 every year from ones that break.
Yeah.
So...
What do you mean? We do just-in-time inventory.
Right.
That's a great way to do it.
But there's no such
it's worked thing. Out well.
It didn't work out well the last year, did it?
Just in time got reconsidered to, oh, crap.
But to answer your question, we keep we'll go buy like 20 or 30 of these ultra type, these things right here. What's that? No, the pointer doesn't show, does it? But those brass fittings there.
Right on the end of your PV on your pipe.
Yeah, and then once we're running out, we'll order some more. But lately we've been ordering extra because they're hard to get, so we order extra so we'll have more on hand.
So the toilet paper shortage.
Get 22 pounds too.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see it. Have our base meter fee cost of materials is going to be given as they come in. If we're taking 10-20% increases, we got to pass it on. We should need it.
So we can write up a policy with a rate that just says our hourly rate plus cost of materials at the time of installation.
Right.
And then extenuating circumstances with like.
Right.
I'd want to make sure that we, whatever we wrote into it, it have to protect from having a battle. If a shoulder was damaged, or if you know, well, that's just your poor backhoe work that caused that shoulder. You should expect me to pay you too big of a hole. You know, that kind of argument that happens. I'd want to make sure that whatever we did, we kind of softened that kind of, we didn't have to deal with that kind of collection opportunity headache.
Yeah, come back to, should have been an hour, just all day long.
Yeah, I've seen your guy sitting there eating his lunch for 3 hours, and I mean, we know how long you've eaten your lunches.
It'd be nice to have them. This is what it's going to cost, 4 or 5 hours, whatever you want to charge, and then anything addition. That way, I mean, the half of them may be within that period, they may be under, but at least we're going to know what it is. Those that are going to be over, we have the safety net, but we're going to charge them. I think every case of doing it hourly is going to
it's going to be an administrative nightmare a little bit.
I think I'd rather at least have a minimum than we have that.
So you could say it's an average of 4 hour job. You're going to pay for 4 hours.
Right. If it's going to be above the
if it's less, you still pay for 4 hours.
Exactly. What about this? Let's compromise it. Let's consider it. We can say we have an option where they can bring their own contractor in. We have our rates. Mm-hmm. It has the, you know, that flexible schedule, and then you can say, but you can get your own, you can do it cheaper, but it's got to, you know, you got to have a contractor that's licensed and bonded to do it.
Yep, I like that.
And no matter what, you're still going to go back and hook the saddle on and tap that line?
No, they'll hook the saddle on, we'll just do the tapping.
Okay.
And install the meter and the radio.
Yeah. Like so you can have the self, and you have ours, and ours can have that way it protects that interest if it's a bind. It's going to be a little more of a premium,
right?
But it'll be available.
The only reason we do the tapping is because we want to make sure we get the coupon,
right?
Because we've had so many.
We don't want them splitting our line either.
Huh?
We don't want them splitting our
line. No, we don't want them splitting our line. We also, on high pressure lines, we always shut them down and reduce the pressure before we tap. But we have found so many coupons inside of PRVs clogging them up that we want to make sure that we've got it.
I think that's a good way to proceed. I like that.
So if they can find their contractor to do it less than what we charge, they can do it.
And they may just have a, like you said, they may have a contractor and the guy's already there, you just slap it in. Right. We come and do our inspection and done. So if you had two schedules, one self or contracted or us, and you can build the way that you were just talking before, but then have that option. And then we'll see what, and then maybe down the road we're going to say, you know what, this ain't working, or this is actually working out well. Let's just move to that schedule.
Yep.
Okay.
I like it.
All right, we'll work a little bit more on that. I don't know how long do you guys want to talk about this. I mean, we currently
Let me see if I've got that on here. We currently, let me show you the... Here's what we're currently paying for our water. This yellow column here.
It's not up there.
Oh, because I left that going, didn't I? Hold on.
That's your escape. There you go.
Okay. So this yellow column is what we are currently paying for water. Okay, and some of these have just recently changed. So like treatment costs have gone up a little bit. We have a replacement charge of the treatment plant that we have to pay in for every acre foot we use. These are all acre foot numbers here, except for this bottom one, which is gallons. And proposed, we've heard rumblings that Duchesne's going to up it to $75 an acre foot.
Well, that's what we actually agreed to on the contract.
We signed a contract with Duchesne City?
We said to get a contract, but it was 75. When that contract gets wrote up, that's what we agreed to, wasn't it? Yeah. So I plan on 75 is our number.
But they haven't even come to us with any proposal, have
no.
they?
We were going to share that. Last thing they said was, hey, we'll split the cost of that contract. And then they left.
Anyway, so they're operating the plant on the new process now, so it could go up to 245. All of these other things stay the same. But anyway, so somewhere between 578 and 606 per acre foot, which is, per thousand, is $1.77 or $1.86, depending on...
About 10 cents differential with the...
Yeah. But we are now selling our water, everything over their $6,000 that comes with their monthly payment, we're selling for $1.80. So we're making 3 cents per 1,000 gallons.
That's not good.
And that's, well, I can see where you're going, never mind. I won't bring that up. You're going to go there next, looks like.
Well, on the aqueduct?
On the, yeah.
So we can get a lot less expensive through our own aqueduct, but we have a contract with Victory for 620 gallons a minute. In the last 3 months, we haven't even come close to 620 gallons a minute because the fracs have all shut down. And so whether we use the aqueduct or not, we still have to pay the Victory costs for the capacity charge on that. So in effect, we have no $1.12 per 1,000 gallons. It's $1.77. There's no...
So that's something we just can't count into our money. We aren't in our fees. We just can't count on it. It could come and it could be a benefit, but we can't count it into our structure. That's what that says. Right?
Yeah. So if we're using a lot of water, then it'll average it out, but until we get over 620 gallons a minute.
But the thing is when you use a lot of the water, it means we're supporting a lot of fracs, so there's a lot of extra costs.
Right.
Administrative costs and operating costs.
But it's one of these two-edged sword things. When we're using a lot of water, the costs of the plant go down per thousand. And so they reevaluate their costs. So if the total plant usage this year is down, then their costs next year are going to be up on the plant costs. If our usage is way up, then those costs could go down. So then the state wants us to conserve water. So.
And they're not going to let up on that. We've got to fill that Great Salt Lake somehow.
So we can turn the pumps on.
Pumps beer.
So anyway, I think it's just something to look at, that right now it's costing us $1.77 and we're selling it for $1.80.
Now I want to throw some math there that you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was here. I've seen in consideration, we have our base fee, and we could actually look at it. We have our base fee, and your base fee you could structure your base fee to pay for your O&M. That covers basically your membership fee to Johnson Water. That covers, it supports the system and operation, and then the water comes at the cost. Well, okay.
Looks like that's a segue that we're talking. So, something, because we've kind of meshed those together, and it gets a little murky when you do that.
Which when we did our user rate study for the year still, we had that calculation outlined in that user rate study.
I just don't remember what it was.
Might have to go back and look too.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more, all of the different water systems I look at see what their rate structures are, and more people are, Roosevelt does this, they have a monthly base fee, right. And you pay that fee no matter whether you use zero or...
And you pay all the water on top of that.
Yeah. And what that does is it pays, we have costs that are involved for meters that are sitting, not being used, you know. It costs us, because we have capacity that we're paying for out of Victory, that even though they're not using it at the time, we're saddled with that commitment to pay it. And so my recommendation is that we charge a base fee every month to every meter, whether they're on or off. Because we incur costs, whether they're on or off, every month. And what that base fee is, you know, we need to, you know, go through a fee study and find out what that is.
Well, the way I look at it is that when somebody connects down to Johnson Water, they're a part of the water association.
They belong to the club.
They're a member of Johnson Water, and they have their dues, and that should be the monthly rate to have the privilege of having that water whenever they need it, whether they need it now or in 6 months from now. They have access to when they want on demand. So to have a connection to Johnson Water, you're a part of Johnson Water to have water on demand. And so I agree that we need to have part of our base rate or as our base rate or whatever we want to do it, a fee structure that makes sure that that's took care of. That everybody's paying the Johnson Water portion of being a part of that, having water on your on demand, access to good drinking water. This shutting off and not paying anything, I think, is undue burden for the rest of the, because, you know, it's kind of skimming the cream off the top and giving everybody else the way there, so.
Yeah.
It's what it looks to me, and so I support what, you know, what you're saying there. How that looks is going to be more discussion, and I'm glad we did that, Jason, that the study, and we can maybe look at it and see. But I think whenever we're coming up on the, you know, as we come through, it's a long process to evaluate the rates as we get increases and as we got to pass those on. That should be a part of the equation, I would suggest.
So with this discussion, you mentioned that we would have to have a hearing?
Whenever you change any fee or rate, you have to have a public hearing.
Public hearing. Mm-hmm. So how do you go about setting that up?
Well, first of all, we talk about it. We talk to the engineers that we have to have it. The rates have to be based on need. We can't make money. We have to basically have a flat. Our money has to be designated for projects.
In and out.
In and out, because the state auditor can come in and say, you guys got way too much money in here, and you're charging your customers too much. You know. Because we're a public utility, it has to be just what it costs us to do business. And for maintaining the system and for building up the system.
Upgrading. Or replacement. And,
well, and there's always a certain amount of cushion that's allowed.
Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, we...
But they limit that to a certain amount. I can't remember what the amount is that you can carry over that's not designated.
Yeah, there's another part, the impact fee section of this, you know, is another set aside fee. Basically, and the way I look at impact fee is the system's been developed, and when you're buying into that system and the burden that was created... that system created. So you're buying into it, and those fees are dedicated for taking care of that liability. The ongoing O&M would be what we're talking about here.
So these fees that are not being collected are for meters that are turned off?
Mm-hmm. somebody goes to Arizona for the winter, they turn off the meter, they're not charged for the time they're gone.
Well, we need to change that.
And I think, and I agree, and I think that while we're doing that, I would like to consider maybe looking at different structures, saying, you know, what it takes to run Johnson Water, that's the base rate, then the water, kind of like Roosevelt's doing, then the water, because the water is sitting there going up and down, well, up, let's just say, I don't know about coming down, but it's going to keep going up on us, and we can play with that, but right now we've got to blend it. We have water blended into our base rate, and so it's like, how much of that is water cost in our base rate, how much of it's not, how much is it O&M, and so if we pull the water portion out of that, we can then say, this is what it costs to operate Johnson Water. Then the flux above that is your...
The water usage.
It's just whatever is used, and whatever your costs are, your raw water costs, you just go to your guy, your customers. That way you're taking care of your own M, and then you can more accurately be able to make decisions on your rate increases, because it's more directly... You got your indirect costs into your base, and then you got your direct costs that are above.
So then one other thing to throw in the mix is we're kind of subsidized by our industrial users, kind of a lot.
Kind of like half our system.
So I worry, it may never happen, but I worry with the political climate that oil is bad and that they want to do away with the internal combustion engine, whether they drive people into poverty or not. I don't know. It depends on what the political will of the people is and who they elect. I don't know.
This is part of my job. The way I look at it is that the best salesmen for guns are Democrats. Mm-hmm. Best sell for oil is going to be the same. Because you can't do away with oil.
Well, I don't.
As fast as they're doing, all they're doing is making it to where we're developing faster. And so it's going to be a long time before they get off oil.
Well, there's so many other products that are made from the oil that's got to even go to the electric.
Yeah, we're just on the very tail end, or the front end of it. They're just getting we're just getting a whiff of government interference and trying to channel what happens in oil markets. But they could. We could tap out. 15 years from now, we could tap out our fill here.
I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist. There are people out there, like, they are taking away the fertilizer from Dutch farmers so they can't grow crops. It's like, where's the food coming from? There's a group of people out there who are anti-human.
Yeah. Well, we're overpopulated. You're right. They think we're overpopulated. Every time you talk to somebody and you try to talk sense to them, they always go down to we're overpopulated. And that's scary.
But the thing is, we are at the top of the curve, and we're going to go into depopulation very soon. Anyway.
But we can't.
But the whole thing is, the whole reason I bring that up, Drew, is because if the economy collapses, whatever, and the oil field goes down and we have no oil to use, say, Ovintiv files bankruptcy, well, we've lost our contract, right? We don't have any bonding on that contract. If we lose that contract and these oil companies stop, then all of a sudden we've got to be prepared to pay for the operation of our system.
If we lose that, we're in trouble.
I know it.
We're in more trouble than just losing that.
But it's still a possibility.
Kind of packing your covered wagon and going east.
Your cash flow analysis that was performed a couple years ago shows the two scenarios.
Right.
And I just recommend that you guys consult that.
Right. And without the industrial, the average bill was like $120 a month.
Right? Yeah, you doubled your bill.
Basically. Yeah, I just don't remember about double.
Which isn't going to be out of the question. I mean, it is what it is. We'll have to survive.
The people are unemployed, but not to pay their water bill anyway.
Right. But we can't subsidize them either.
No. So.
Yeah, I guess if people don't pay their bill.
I'm just trying to make everybody sleep better tonight. That's all.
All right. Well, it's good discussion on this, and I think that we ought to look toward a rate structure like that, along with trying to understand what our next rate
how our rates are going to come in. We got to keep up with it. You got anything else, Dixon?
I got done more, but that's enough for today.
Yeah. Okay. Next item is number 7, fraud risk assessment. What do we got? Is it in our?
No, I'm not going to dwell too much on it.
We don't have much on it?
We're not going to dwell too much on it.
Is this what we did last year?
Yeah, the year before.
Thank you.
I remember this. Thanks, Jason. Oh, I remember this. What do we got to do?
We need to go through our policies and everything and get them all updated. And
so. Who's going to do that?
I will. I will get them and if I just email them and have you guys look at them and then be ready for next month to sign them.
All
or any comments or whatever.
Okay. Did you hear that, guys?
No. I can't hear a thing.
So,
going back.
You remember doing this?
Yeah, I do.
We're going to do it again. And so she's going to go through, pull the applicable conflict of interest, procurement, ethical behavior. Going to pull those, send it to us.
And I do have one of the conflict of interest. I do have copies of that one.
And then send it to us, and we got to talk about it next month.
Okay.
Will that work?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
Last time we had like one thing we needed to work on, I remember, wasn't it?
We separated something, treasurer and duties of.
Yeah.
That's why we made.
Well, Dallas at the time was
made
the treasurer.
And then.
But Dean's filling that role now.
Yep, thanks, Dean. From the person taking
is
the
money. Is this different policies or the same ones as last time?
They're the same ones as the last.
Okay. So it shouldn't be as big of a learning curve as it was last time. Last time it was kind of a little bit of a learning curve for us.
You'll email these out then?
Yeah, I just give you the copy.
You're going to get emails. Now, are you guys getting emails? I had, we kind of struggled in the meeting last week. We had like not very much response. So I was wondering, I wanted to ask tonight on communications how we can.
I just missed on one email.
You
know what?
You won the lottery.
You're the odd duck because all these guys start with D's and so I hit his D's and his
we're gonna call you
odd duck. You're the odd duck, Paul.
That starts with
put in there, odd duck.
That's a D.
I can't believe I missed it.
Most
like,
of us
what?
Are four letter words. Dan's the exception. So you're the odd duck.
I'm five.
Four-letter words, right? Three of us.
So part of the Sprott family, I don't know if you guys heard.
No offense.
Tracy Killian, the new commissioner. Did he call you, Karen?
Mm-mm.
Who did he call?
Me.
Who was you?
Yeah. I brought it up last week.
Oh, okay.
About the Cedar View Mall got hacked. Drained their bank account. Drained it. So the concern was is just being careful with our information we're giving out. If somebody bought a connection, wanted refunded, they convinced them to give them information that they had no need of giving, and they drained them. So he was just making us aware.
He called me as well.
Yeah.
And I
drained them, huh?
Yeah, so he was just making us aware and break it up. And
how much
so we've got protocols in place to not do that.
How much money did they?
$170,000.
Yeah. They're for sale.
Yeah. That's
not good.
That's bad. That's horrible.
Anyway.
There's pot liquors out there. Okay.
Right.
And
I don't know if you're aware there's legislation being proposed to move the county auditors out of the, or not auditors, recorders. Onto the state level. We don't want that.
They're trying to move the county recorders to a state position?
So that you're... Supposedly it makes it easier for developers.
Oh.
We need to keep our county recorders in the county.
Yeah.
I don't see
benefit of that? Why would they?
I don't know what all this.
Because it's,
you know, part of the other thing is that they're letting developments happen with paper water.
With what?
Paper water.
Yeah, I've seen that discussion last
There's
meeting.
No wet water.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm trying to think what the discussion, how it was leaning. I don't know. There was discussion about it, and I was kind of, I missed the first part of it, so it's hard to keep up with them, but I remember them talking, or I did recall that last committee meeting.
Anyway, just things to be aware
of. So on the commission, or on the recorders, someone's proposing a bill is going.
Yeah, I don't know where it's at.
Who's the sponsor, you know?
I don't know who's.
Wouldn't that have to be a constitutional amendment or something?
I don't know how long it takes. You just made me aware of it.
All right.
They were trying to take recorder out of the county.
Our commission, our state commission association is pretty strong. I don't know if that's going to get anywhere.
The majority of our legislators and stuff are developers and attorneys. Is they not, it's not?
I don't know. Our commission's pretty conservative. I'm, you know, it's actually pretty good.
Well, let's hope that it's.
I hope it's strong. Yeah.
Halfway there.
They're pretty strong. Okay. We have any other items of business?
In that one email you sent out, you talked about the Unibasin Water Conference.
Yeah. Pretty close, isn't it?
Wyatt.
And we got Wyatt.
On that note, you guys are there, if you don't mind asking one more question. That was written on the board, so it reminded me of that folder install at the gulch.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds, and I don't know, just from what I've heard, that you guys may already have a stream alteration permit in place for that. Is that something you guys are going to take care of sort of separate from Wyatt? Does it depend on what happens as far as the property says?
So what, before we had tonight, what I was proposing was that we were going to stall it for an access, but our access was going to be bare minimum, use native soils to get across so you can get a load of hay back and forth across that. What Wyatt needs, or a developer would need, would be a lot more involved and a lot more structure done there. So what I was going to propose to Wyatt tonight was that we will contribute that portion of what we would have paid to be that up there, and then you take it and do whatever else you want from that and put it wherever you want. We'll give you a connection to, or we'll give you a right of way to the end of property. You take it from there. Here's the money. But they didn't come to that because we had other discussions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it complicates that.
That makes sense. As far as the stream alteration permit, what would you guys' thoughts be on that? Would you want to basically cancel that permit that you guys have?
No, it'd go with it.
It'd go with him.
So Jim had a question about that because somehow his name is tied to that somehow.
The permit?
Yeah.
Whose name?
Jim Smart.
Why would it be tied to
that? I don't know. I didn't. He said that.
Well, Jason just left. We should have asked Jason because Jason was the one who filed.
It would be under, it'd be any kind of liability would fall on Johnson Water. He may have been as the operator, but I.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what his
name is. I don't think he'd have any.
He was going to be here until that stuff happened.
I don't think he'd have a liability on it.
As long as when you submit the application, there's somebody that signed it from Johnson Water, whether that was him or not.
His name's on the permit, but it's not for Jim.
So well, it's like me. I sign a lot of crap as a chairman, but I'm not going to, I have personal liabilities just like everybody else does here. And if I act outside of the board's direction, then I have personal liabilities. But other than that, just because I sign a piece of paper doesn't mean that I'm responsible in perpetuity.
So do we have that permit in hand? Or is
So if this is going to be delayed, can we still put it in so that if it doesn't go through, that our lessee can still get across there?
My recommendation on that would be yes, but until this goes through, we don't want to put it over here and then wanting it over here.
So I would suggest that we wait until we 4 months or whatever you guys decide, I guess, if we decide to go that route, before spring though, or before summer, before the season, it needs to be put in one way or the other.
December, January, February, March. It puts us right there.
It puts us right there.
Because so, the sewer and everything's going to be on hold until...
It's, yeah.
Yes.
But he also needs to take water...
Across,
and what we would design wouldn't be.
No, there's not enough cover over.
But it could be, if we did the bare minimum, we could do it to the standard that it could be added to.
Height-wise, but width-wise, we're going to have another section.
Yeah, he's going to have, Dwight's going to want to do another one.
And
well, that's what I'm saying, you could add the width on later.
But the biggest problem I see is where it's actually going.
Yeah. Right.
It
may cost him money if we go over here because of his design. So it may be cheaper for him just to do it all himself. So
that would be my thought on it anyway. If we're going to work complete, if we're going to work with him, let's wait.
I think if it's going to be him, I think we wait. But he's gonna have to take that ownership of
exactly
of where he puts it and the cost above and beyond what our cost was.
That needs to be part of the agreement. We're going to
prolong
this. That inevitably, he's going to get the 30 whatever, 6,000, and they put it where they want it. And it's out of our
and I think that's pretty generous.
Very generous.
Because I think that was built to a better spec than.
But I know Kenny is kind of screaming at the bit to get going on it if he's picked.
And
I don't think it's going to happen before. Well, it might. I don't know.
Who knows. But anyway, that's the discussion, decision we need to make.
Yeah.
What we're going to do there.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for letting me sit in on it.
Yeah,
sure, we'll be talking in the near future, hopefully.
Very good.
Never take the street. That's the only thing you'll get out of it.
Oh, I might take a show for the soda if you don't mind.
There's your little here. I've been eyeballing it all night.
I have.
Got it an hour ago. It was cold.
Yeah. Thanks.
See ya.
So, we're discussing it. What do you guys think?
Did I hear that guy say there, this Wyatt, that he had other projects in other counties like Yuna County?
Tooele County, they have property for sale that hasn't.
Okay,
apparently something happened.
I don't know. This thing doesn't sound for to me. It just.
I don't know.
Doesn't sound
good. The reason they call it speculators.
Yeah, it just doesn't.
Yep.
So what's happened is inflation has gone up, interest rates have gone up. Now nobody can afford to buy houses, and so developers are slowing down.
Well, and the houses have been sold, they're 20% over. So if you spent $500,000 on a house, now it's worth $400,000.
Yeah. So,
and you still pay off the
$100,000. That's going to hurt. That's going to hurt the development. But I have an idea. So he paid $30,000. It's $40,000. 4 months, March, that'll pay for our crossing effects,
right.
And we're done.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we don't have anything to lose, really, other than gaining $40,000.
To pay for our crossing.
To pay for the crossing.
And that was my thought.
4 months to re-advertise this and get with the inflation and those interest rates, I don't think we're going to get the same.
Probably not.
Offer.
But $40,000... And then we'll reevaluate at that time.
Right.
And if we like, whatever, keep it, whatever. But we'll at least we'll have a crossing paid for.
Exactly.
And I don't know, even if you're working from home, I'm not sure that $300,000 lots are...
These won't
be fly.
These won't be $300,000 lots. He's talking to Willow County, Stansbury Park. That is a total different ballgame than out here. They will not sell for that price.
Are you going to find, what's he got, 95 lots?
90.
Is he going to find 90 people that are going to come out here from the city and then fill those lots and to work?
I would say it depends on the economy. If the economy is like it has been for 2 years, absolutely going to be able to do it.
The only reason businesses aren't coming right now is because the workforce is not here.
I talked to a solar panel manufacturer that wants to put a huge plant in. 1,000 employees, need 450 the first year, 1,000 needed the next year. And they're ready to start breaking ground right now.
According to the commissioners, Irene Hansen yesterday, same story. It's over and over again. The county commissioner's concern is do it small increments, 50 employees, and then grow. If you come out with a business for 200 employees, we're going to have a hard time filling those jobs. So they're wanting to do it in small increments. But without housing, we have zero housing right now. There is nothing.
So you had to give an example. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't say, so this is 90 homes. That one plant, 400 people, you got 400 homes right there. That's what kind of impact one, and we've got multiple people asking for manufacturing or the like to bring in the business.
And they want to shut down the coal-fired plant, and then we don't have the power anyway.
We don't need power.
That's what they said. That's
on the wall. I had that argument yesterday. I told them, I said, what are you going to do? Compete with the other umpteen million watts? We have more power than you can shake a stick at during lunch hour. I said, where we're going to be hurting is at bedtime. I said, what are you going to do there? Because he wants to put solar farms up. And
20% of the time, solar is effective. 20%.
Elon Musk already has a solution. They're in Australia. They're called peaking plants that they have to turn on at night to make up for the difference in electricity use. So he built one battery-powered peaking plant, and they charge it up during the day and then use it at night. And it's so successful, it paid for itself in less than 6 months. It's on batteries, Tesla batteries. Now, the problem is, they can't make batteries fast enough to build.
I'm not seeing those numbers. I'm not seeing those numbers. Batteries are freaking expensive, and you have to be able to store 14, 15, 16 hours of energy. That's a lot of batteries. So let's make a decision on Wyatt. I can talk energy all night long. Don't get me started.
I guess I would say give it the 4 months and
30,000, 4 months, and part of that agreement is that if it comes through, then we're giving him the 30. He's crossing it on his, he puts it in.
We need a timeline on when we're getting the.
But it needs to be on the contract. The new contract wrote up with the money.
The earnest money.
The earnest money and the timeline and what's included. So we need to add, we need to write up a new contract to do that.
What do you think, Dean?
I don't know. It just doesn't sound right to me. I mean, I'm not sold on this that much. I can't see that happening. You know, I kind of seem to remember some of that planning commission and accounting when the guy came in that built all those houses south of Touche, and he came in and he was really pumped up, just like this guy sounded, and it's costing the county money right now. You know, they come in and did things not exactly the way it should have been done, but it's kind of like this guy. I have a hard time.
What liabilities do you see we have? What risk do we have?
Pardon?
What risk are you worried about?
I don't know. It just doesn't sound right to me. I think the risk is getting this all set up and then getting people out here to fill that.
And that's why it goes.
And I don't see that happening.
Well, that's his baby. Pays us for the land, I don't want to go partner. We're not partnered with him.
Yeah. Well, I know that.
Oh, okay.
It's just
nobody's considering that, right?
No.
Okay.
The only thing we've got to lose.
I don't think we can. Legally.
The only thing we've got to lose is 4 months.
We could own land, sell land, all kinds of stuff.
It's
right there in the title.
So we could just be out 4 months for and sell it.
Yeah.
4 months and 30 grand.
The whole thing is 40 grand.
40,000.
Because we the 10 is in escrow now.
Yes, we've already got 10 right now. Whether we do it or not, we've got.
Yeah, that's right. So it'd be an extra 30. Yeah.
So we've already generated $10,000 through this ordeal because we're out of contract. That's our money.
Yeah, it's just, this thing, how long have you been working on this? This property? Ever since I've been on it, it's a year, every meeting's been dedicated so much time to this property.
Oh, you have no idea.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Before you got on it,
continuing and go.
Yeah, it's
not doing anything with it.
Well, and if we don't work with Wyatt, we're going to keep going. I don't know. To me, it's a no-brainer. I think we've got everything to gain and not a lot to lose. 4 months of time, we can't rebid it in 4 months. I mean, we can, but I don't think we're going to get it.
It's my opinion.
What do you guys think, Paul, Dean, or Dan?
Well, I said what my thought was is let him put the other $30,000 in escrow. If it comes through, then so be it. If not, we get the $40,000. And like I said, it pays for the crossing, which there needs to be a crossing for access to it anyway. Yep. We don't have access to that piece of property.
Paul, what do you think?
I think we go with it, put a timeline of the 15th of March.
So,
and if he's not done on the 15th, regardless of when the contract's written, then the money would come to us.
So part of the permit is that has to be installed in low water. Okay. So if we're doing it, we've got to do it before runoff starts.
March will still be okay.
But that barely.
Yep.
Depends on the year.
Yep.
We're doing it. I've seen a little bit around here.
And hopefully it doesn't take that long. But
yeah, that's true.
We'll know. If he can get it done in 2 months, all the better.
Right.
Yeah. But we have to go off.
Say 4 months. That's April.
January 15th, February, March, April. Yeah, it's when water comes in. About when water would come in.
Yep. But that's not high water. April's not high water.
Well, it's usually about May and June.
Right. So we're still okay.
We get this much snow and it starts about mid-March, we're going to have a lot of water coming through.
Why can't we just put it in anyway?
Because...
Are they going to move it again?
That's the point we've been hashing out. If we put it in now, where we want to put it in, they want it over here. They want it on the
road. Do we want it in a different spot?
They
do. No, but what if we put it where they want it right now?
It'll cost us more money.
Well, I guess Jim was supposed to give us a cost on it. Or you guys?
Yeah, I don't think it was that much.
Well, if it's not, then let's...
I could be that.
Decided to put it straight out.
If it's going to be the same one, we
can move forward. Those were the numbers we were waiting to hear back from staff.
And Jim talked to him about it, but
if it's not,
I don't.
If it's not,
we need to find out. We need to find out if it is going to be a lot different at that spot. Yeah. But the other thing is you could. It's like I said before, you could do it enough to get the hay across, and you get so. Later on, if he does, it goes through in April or March or April, then you've got that base and you can build on it up to where he needs it. If he doesn't come through, we've still got a crossing.
Sure. The thing we were waiting on is the numbers. From the meeting we had last time, in between now and then or whenever it was, we were looking for numbers to move it.
So the other thing, it would be in two phases too, because if we don't have to bring it up and have it all that wide if it's not. Right. If we just tell, say Kenny does it, okay? Say, we want it, the culvert in with 6 feet of fill on top.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still going to dip down.
We're only going to get three of them.
How many pieces do we have?
Two.
Three.
Three?
We have
we got
60 feet.
They need one more joint to get what they need.
Do they want a flat road? They're not going to have any dip at all?
No, there'll be a dip, but in order to get the fill on top to put a water line in, they're going to have one more joint with the shoulder slope.
But they can add to it, like you said, they can. We were just waiting on a number. If it's not going to have much difference, this would be an easy decision for us tonight. But we don't have those numbers.
So does it have to be re-permitted to...
But if they come in and add them on, they won't have to. Sure.
Within the same 6 months?
That would be a question for Jason, I guess.
If we have
two different phases, are we going to have to re-permit it? If we install now and then add to it in March, April?
It would be his baby by then.
Right.
I think once you're across, you can build it up. It's not effective.
No, I mean adding to it lengthwise.
We need to find out what another piece of culvert costs.
For him, not us, but for him it would be easier for him to get forgiveness. Us, we have a posse around us that hotel.
We can't do anything until we know a number.
So he did talk to him.
We just don't know
what the number is because he's MIA right now with his brother, unfortunately.
Who's that?
Jim has, Kenny's the low number, and so Jim had talked to him about moving it to where straight across here.
Right.
We just don't know what he told Jim. Would he have a note back in his office? Do you know? Did he tell you, Karen or Dixon? Did Kenny submit a piece of paper, or is it just mouth?
It's word of mouth as far as I know.
And that would depend on that survey line out to there of where you would position those three lines or those three things. You know, if you're not centered with that.
Well, we own the property.
Right, but I mean, if you've got a road that's going to go straight back there, the position that you put those pipes, if you center that first one in the middle,
right,
then west side, you're going to put that extension.
That's right, you're right. So it needs to be...
Well, it'll be on his property.
Yeah, but I see
the road. The road might.
Just so we install it center line on the property line.
Right.
Then they can add to it on one side. Just anticipating they're going to add 20 more feet.
Yeah, we've got the stake out there. The pin is actually in the ground.
That's
out
where
there.
That is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I know what you're saying.
We got a pin on both sides.
Well, we can't make that decision anyway tonight. So.
But we can decide whether if we're going to let him commit the $30,000, get a contract wrote up, a new contract wrote up.
I think Dan pretty well made a motion.
We'll have to do it as resolution. Do we extend the contract with an additional $30,000 earnest money? April 15th.
Mm-hmm. Including in that though.
Or April 1st.
Including in that though, we need to have...
The 1st April or the 15th of March, I'd say.
For what?
Including in that, we need to have... It slipped. Hold on. Coming back. What was I going to say? The culvert crossing. It's not going to be on us, it will be on him. We'll just give him the cost of the install, the culvert, whatever it is, if we're going to do it that way. That needs to be in the contract as well.
Yeah.
If we don't do it before.
And then we just say it that way. If we don't do it before, it's on him.
Yeah.
We'll pay the $36,000 to him and give him the permission.
Deduct it off the purchase price.
Yeah.
So this culvert going to be, he's going to want to put a paved road in there, right? Is it, I guess the engineering specs would be so that it could be right over the top of it?
Yep.
It could be gutter or anything like that, or that might
he'll have to do
be required.
He'll have to do it to the Roseville City specs. Yep. And this culvert that we spec'd out was a UDOT respect culvert from Paragon, and I did get the numbers on that because somebody asked that. I think Wyatt asked that initially months ago, and I got the numbers from Paragon off the culvert that we bought.
Good.
because of the stuff that's out here.
But if we put the culvert in, we're going to be putting it in now the way we want to put it in, right? Or kind of with the idea that it's going to happen, that the sale's going to happen. But.
Heck no.
Go ahead.
I just saw all the men with all the power here, and I thought I'd stop for a second. And the ladies.
Did you bring dinner with you?
I can go find something. I got some crackers over in the office. I hate to interrupt. I just was curious if this thing was going through over here.
So are we.
Yeah. He stopped at my office here a couple weeks ago and laid it all out and everything, but I just hadn't heard anything more.
As far as the road goes?
Well, he said that they were going to put a road in, county road in through here.
Yeah, so they decided not to go on. Or
it would be on the, yeah, not on the west side. There wasn't enough.
Yeah, he wanted 30 feet from me, and I said, I can't give you 30 feet.
Yeah, let's see.
It's going to be on the east.
It would be, we have 40 foot there now. It would have to be another 16 feet. It'd have to be able to make that work. It'd have to be another 16, but that's pretty tight right there. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously you're going to have to pull your fence just for the 20 feet.
Yeah. So it's still planning, but not planning the road through here?
No, it needs to be wider. County is going to require a minimum of 56, so we have to go around.
So where will it come off the highway here?
It'll probably come off the entrance.
Oh, and they'll still use this entrance, but it'll go on this side of
the road. Right, it'll just go in front of the building.
Oh. That's probably not the best alternative, is it?
It's about the only alternative.
Well,
unless I want to give up more money.
Even then, they don't want to jog the road. So coming this, either way, they're going to have to jog. Whether they go on your side, they're going to have to jog back the way they had it designed, or they'll have to have a jog in front of the building.
Okay. So are you still planning to do it, though, huh?
Well... He's asked for an extension on the contract.
I see.
Because some funding fell through for him.
Oh.
All right. That's what we're right now debating.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No.
So if you'd bring us a crystal ball, we'd have
the answer. Yeah, I'd like to have one of those myself. All right, guys. Hey, thanks.
See you. So it just occurred to me that Jim Taylor owns these two lots, and he is if he builds some commercial thing in here, he's going to have Furnace Road along over to his other entryway, right?
We've already given him an easement when we sold the property.
No, what I'm saying is that if he has to put a frontage along the front of his businesses, it may come up here, and they can go right, or they can go left to get. They can go left to get on Highway 40, or right to get on I-87.
That's right.
I don't know what he's got planned.
I don't either.
But that's a possibility that maybe what he's going to do in the future.
And that's another advantage of having the road over on that side, is because there's going to need to be a road anyway.
There's going to be one regardless. Whether
so rather than having two roads on both sides of us, it would be better realistically to have it on this side. Now, we do have a 40-foot easement now. That's what we were going to meet and talk about the other night. And we can pump this down the road. But we've got a 40-foot with Jim and ourselves.
But 20-20 just like we are on this side.
So one way or the other, we're going to have to gain another 16 feet. Whether we take it all on our own or we split it with Jim, we're going to have to get 16 more feet.
Yep. But we still put... If we still put it in right now as is, straight across with the 40 feet,
sure.
Just to get it in if we needed to.
Sure.
We can split that. Okay, so anybody want to make a resolution or a motion on that? Sorry. Are we ready to move?
I'd make a motion that we give him till the 15th of March with the additional $30,000 earnest money, and that we go ahead and get the culvert in that we have access to. Maybe that doesn't need to be in that for him.
Well, the discussion, if I understand the discussion, was on the culvert now, we can do whatever you want on your motion, it's your motion, was that if we don't put it in, it'll be that he'll be required to put it in, but we'll pay our portion of what it would cost us to put it in.
Also, instead of paying the contractor
to put it in,
now, he will be responsible for it. We'll just deduct he would get that amount.
Because what he offered was if we were going to put it in the cheapest spot possible, but he wanted to move it from where we had it. And so he said he's willing to pay whatever the difference is to put it there. And we're saying, well, we'll just give you the money. Well, we had to put into it, and you just deal with it wherever you want, however you want, and you put it in however you want. We'll give you the permit and the cash that we would have or deducted off the loan to put it where you want it, and it's your baby from then. That's the conversation. Or we can just put it in where he wants it, and whatever above and beyond he pays. But the problem is, he would have to pay that if we do it now, and it's above and beyond, would he be willing to pay that with that additional above and beyond? So
is that line, is that it?
This is the property line we're talking about right here.
And the proposed installation is where roughly? For the culvert,
it'd be right here,
straight on. No, the proposed.
The one we permitted.
The one we had a bid on. Down there.
That's right over here somewhere.
Clear down there.
Like right here, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, like narrow where it narrows up there. That's where we get it. So why I wanted to move it and say I'll pay the extra cost.
Right.
That's gonna be extra cost. And so we're saying tonight, a consideration is that if Kenny is willing to do it for the same price, we'll go ahead and just put it in. Or, if it's more money, because of the extension, would it be better just to say that it costs more money than it's going to be Wyatt's baby? We'll just pay what our portion would have been.
We'll pay our portion with the that was in the narrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he can take that portion, put it wherever he wants. However he wants it, as long as he has, you know, that in the permit. So that's the only caveat that I can see it would fit, is that it, you know, if it costs the same, then we can go ahead and do it right now.
Because everything that we're trying to sell is north of that.
Correct.
That black line.
North of that line.
And our 40-foot easement is centered on that far, on the
north,
line, north and south.
Yeah.
By our shop there.
See, if he buys it, this will be his property line.
Right.
And so, we were going to do this. He didn't want it. He wants to go straight. If he says we'll do it for the same amount, then I guess we can just go ahead and throw it in. But if it's going to cost us more, with the extension, it would probably be better to say, since it's going to cost us more and you're not purchase the property, then it's going to be better that we just give you the permit and the money, what it cost us, to go to the narrow spot, and you do it.
If Kenny puts it in now for the money that he was talking,
then we'll do it.
Then, and if the sale doesn't go through, then that earnest money will come back to us for what we've already spent
Kenny.
Yep.
If Kenny does it for the same cost.
Yep.
Well, if he puts that in, you know, maybe he doesn't need to put quite as much cover over it or whatever if we're just talking.
Right, exactly.
Barn use.
Yep.
Did you have Kenny put in what that $40,000 would put in? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well, I think he proposed 36 or
yeah,
so.
36, yeah. But,
right. If Wyatt did decide all of a sudden he'd not want to buy it, I guess the worst scenario, we would have access to that.
But we have more value to the,
yeah,
to our.
Yeah, we're not out. We're not out.
Because we have access.
And he's done. Unfortunately.
Do we need to specify we're going to wait, well, it needs installed, but do we wait until we get his earnest money to install the culvert?
We probably could. You can't use that, can you, right? I mean,
No.
You wouldn't be able to use it until
we wait to pull the trigger on the install of the culvert until he deposits the
earnest. Oh, for this extension?
Well, we already...
I don't think we can mobilize that fast anyway, do we?
Yeah, you're right. I don't think it needs to be hinged on that. It needs to be in place.
How is it accessed right now?
Illegally.
Down behind...
On the power line right away.
What's the name of here, D?
D-Now.
D-Now. You come in right here, right underneath the power line. You go up here, and they've got a culvert across right here. Then the road turns to sand, and there's sand all through here. Mm-hmm. Goes right underneath this transmission tower.
It splits the transmission tower, don't
it? It goes right underneath it.
Right between the legs.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
And then it comes right here up to this corner here.
So it needs in regardless.
We're trespassing. Well, and if anybody ever hit one of them legs on that,
that's been brought up many times.
So it's got to go in, one way or another.
Yeah. It needs down, whether the earnest money comes in or not.
It's just going to cost us probably more or not. We don't know that question if we move it to where he wants it, because that's going to be probably where we're going to want to put it, is where he wants it.
Well, for a future sale for us, it'd still be better off with a straight-in shop road.
Probably so, yeah.
Because this is the right-of-way right out here.
And maybe if he doesn't have a number, maybe we could just ask him, would you do it for the same cost here as you would here? Maybe less sales, whatever. If he hasn't got a number on it, maybe we can negotiate with him.
Okay, so I just want to extend it.
I think we need to extend it, definitely.
Okay, and how long are we going to give it? You said March 15th gives him 3 months.
April. Was it April or March?
March. Well, he just said March. And the motion I heard March, which is 3 months. Yeah.
Well, in March 15th and 27th, you want 4 months.
Say that.
Well, while it was in the 15th,
yeah.
If he wants 4, give us a little more earnest money.
Okay, take the motion.
And see how bad he wants it.
Make the motion.
Oh, it's going to be hard if he...
I think we have a motion. We
have almost an emotion here. Dan's got it. Did you want to keep it with just the... Dan made... All right.
Well, if we need to go to 4 months, then that puts us to when? April 15th.
Mid-April. Well, April 8th. From tonight.
Well, there's 4 months.
Okay. Well, that's the motion. Okay. So Dan moves that we extend it till April 8th with $30,000 additional earnest money that's non-refundable. Right?
For a total of $40,000 non-refundable dollars.
Yeah.
Due with
April
8th. April 8th. No, the earnest money.
Oh, the earnest money. Oh. And we'll have to redo the contract due then next week.
I don't think you need the contract to get the earnest money.
He's going to want a contract.
Yeah,
I would if I did.
We need to have a contract tied to it.
So to modify the contract
to extend to April 8th with an additional $30,000 with a total of $40,000 earnest money.
So does that
do?
Did Gail draw that up, or was that just something that he came with, that original contract?
He did.
It's been amended in addendum.
It's been both. Gail's had his hand in it. Wyatt, it's been back and forth. And only thing I think we need to do is just extend it to April 8th with $40,000, increase it to $40,000 earnest money, and
the culvert needs to be addressed. So let's go to April 10th because Friday there's no business done on Friday. Okay.
April 10th.
I learned that.
Earnest money's due by when?
See.
What's your motion?
How much time do you want to give him to get his earnest money in?
Well, as soon as we have that contract.
So
with realistically on a contract.
What?
Realistically on a contract, 2 weeks maybe to get it done.
By the 22nd? That's 2 weeks.
That's what I was looking at. That's Thursday. Okay.
That's fair.
2 weeks to get there. Earnest money due in two in by the 22nd.
I think that gives them enough time.
Okay. What else? What else you got there? You got anything else you want to include? What are we gonna do with the culvert? That if we don't, if the culvert costs us, if the crossing costs us more, then the $36,000 to put where he wants it, then it'll be up to him, right? To install.
He agreed to that, right? I mean, that was
Yeah, he already agreed to that.
Last meeting, he agreed to that?
Yes, I did.
Well, because the crossing actually becomes his property.
Yeah.
Or on his property.
It will be, yeah, it'll be his property. He would just install it when he owns it.
So we're just going to allow him, we're not going to go ahead and put the culvert in?
I think... If it costs us what we're going to pay, we just put it in and just have it in, right? If it's going to cost us the same amount of money and go straight across.
It's going to be additional money, then we need to get it out of Wyatt.
Yeah, if it costs us additional money to put it there, then Wyatt agreed to pay that above. But since we're extending the contract, he's probably not going to want to pay it till the end of that contract.
Right, until he knows whether he's bought the ground.
Yeah, I think we'd have to pay.
And we would still have time, though, if they default, to put it in the spring if we had to, before the water comes in.
But we could...
Well...
Do we want to add something about that, culvert? You can amend it. It's your motion then, whatever you want to do.
All right, guys, this is Trevor. Read back what's been wrote down, Karen.
Nice screenings, sir.
If you can.
Okay, Dan motion to give Wyatt till the 10th of April.
Let's call that extend the contract. That way it ties to what we've already agreed to. I don't want to rehash a contract.
Right.
The 30 with 30,000 additional earnest money.
Let's say with a total of 40,000. Since we're extending the contract, it needs to be a total of 40 on there.
Non-refundable, right?
That's what our current contract says this already. I don't think we have to. Well, go ahead and put non-refundable. Yeah, let's just put that. Just make sure it's clear, right? All right, so read it again. I interrupted it. But.
Okay, Dan motion to give Wyatt till April 10th to extend the contract with 40,000 additional earnest money, non-refundable.
40,000 total.
Just, yeah, take the additional out and put total. Dan, I'm sorry, I'm overriding it here. Sorry. I'm correcting it.
I just said an additional 30,000 earnest money.
Yes.
So, or 40,000 total earnest money.
Since we're extending the contract, we better just put it at what the total amount is, so there's no ambiguity there. So Dan motions to extend Wyatt's contract, right, till April 10th. Increase or with $40,000 earnest money total that's non-refundable.
Right.
Okay, so that
we won't even. I don't think we need to even address the culvert at this point.
Okay. If that's your motion, whatever you want to do.
Not needed right now, because if. Like Drew was saying, if it doesn't come through in April, then we got to address the culvert. We need access to that property.
Okay.
So I was just talking. So we'll put that.
No, it's not in your motion, but I'm just saying, Your motion, is that your motion?
This?
Yeah. Is there a second?
Can we second with an amendment?
Mm-hmm. You can amend.
I'll second that with an amendment that the contracted earnest money will be due
the
22nd. December 22nd.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that would need to be there. And depending on... I really wish we knew what Ken's bid was.
If it was $5,000 more, would we end up doing it anyway?
Yes, we would.
So it's just...
We just need to wait.
Okay.
Much as I want.
Okay, so we have a motion on the table with an amendment, so first we address the amendment.
The motion. No, you're right. You go back first.
Yeah, I got to address the amendment.
First.
Do I have a second on the amendment? Well, we never got a second on that. Oh, you seconded it. So now the amendment. We got to address the amendment.
With a second.
I'll second.
With a second. Okay, those in favor with the amendment? Do we just do the whole motion?
The motion.
We need to do the whole motion with the amendment, as amended.
Because I seconded it.
Yeah. So we've got the motion on the table. I'm going to read it to make sure everybody's clear. It said, Dan motions to extend Wyatt's contract until April 10th, increasing the earnest money to $40,000 total that is non-refundable. The amendment is, Drew seconded with the amendment to make the earnest money due by December 22nd.
With a contract.
Oh, and with a contract. With updated contract, right?
Yes.
Good?
Good.
Is that how you got it?
Yep.
Your amendment?
Yep.
It's been seconded. An amendment will ask call for the question with the motion on the table as amended.
Yes.
Those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. Action items on that one. Who's going to tell Wyatt?
If you want me to reach out to him, I can.
You want to inform him of the action? Okay, thank you. And if anything squirrely, from what, you know, that's what we understand. If anything squirrely, let us know.
He's to provide the contract.
Just update the contract. And I guess that's minimal updating.
Yes, just minimal.
Because it is the earnest money. If they buy it, it's... just comes off from the provision.
They've already lost the 10. So now he's going to throw another 30 in the kitty.
So Karen, can I call you tomorrow? I'll just get the meat of that before I call him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I might have to write down this time. That'll help you, huh? Okay. Any other business?
Yes. I move that we go into closed session to discuss compensation for personnel.
Okay, it's been moved by Drew to go into closed session to discuss compensation for personnel. Is there a second? Seconded by Dean. Calling for the question. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Roll call. Oh, we got to roll call it. Karen, will you do the roll call?
Dusty.
Yes.
Dean.
Yes.
Yes.
Dan.
Yes.
Drew.
Pop. Yes.
It is unanimous. We will now go into closed session.